lot just to keep me safe. Knee pads, baby gates, corner cushions, socket covers, and that fancy car seat for big girls like me. Where'd you find that thing?
The odds of a child being in a fatal car accident are 1 in 23,000. Highly unlikely, but it's still worth untangling those buckles time after time. Well, there's something out there that untangling buckles won't protect a child from, and that something is autism. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166. That's right. 1 in 166 children will be diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder, and one of those could be your child. Knowing what to look for and catching it early could make a world of difference to your child and you.
So, Mom, while you're remembering to protect me from the unthinkable, don't dismiss the possible.
To learn the signs of autism and what to do, go to AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Veterans Care, giving veterans the health insurance they need. Veterans Care, providing veterans with the coverage they deserve.
Veterans Care is a new state health insurance program for Illinoisans who have served their country. Veterans Care provides affordable medical, dental, and vision insurance coverage. It's open to uninsured vets who meet certain income guidelines, including those who are not eligible for coverage from the federal VA.
For more information, visit IllinoisVeteransCare.com or call 1-877-4-VETS-RX.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air, air.
Was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the low made.
Revolution in the air, air.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. other say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My goodness gracious, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. So Boy George gave an unpopular president, defending and advocating an unpopular war, speaking to a democratically dominated Congress, hostile Congress. How you think it went over? I think we can say it's the first time in the history of our governance that there was silence on both sides of the aisle. Well, my name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to, and I have some crazy stuff from Veronica O'Brien that you don't want to miss. We'll be back. Morning. This is Liz Brown, and let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look. This is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede. Be there.
For everyone who ever marched to the beat of a different drummer, the smash hit returns. Stomp.
Oh, it's totally creative. The imagination, the spirit of the people. Wonderful.
Excellent. First time I've seen it, got better every time.
The second time I've seen it, it was fantastic.
Stomp is the best I've ever seen in my entire life.
In New York, they called it a surefire crowd pleaser with a rock and roll heart. In London, they called it pure fun.
It was great. This is the second time that I've been to the show, and I had to bring my friends because it was so much fun.
I was dancing in the aisles. I don't know how anybody could sit there with so much rhythm going.
Stomp is totally a gift to the planet. It changed my whole aura. I'm not sane.
It's pure entertainment with more bang for the buck than any show in memory. See what all the noise is about. Stomp.
Coming to the Fox Theater, February 16th to the 18th. Tickets on sale now at MetroTix or online at MetroTix.com. Presented by Dan Signalis.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Together, yeah, brother. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free, of course, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up. Get to me, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Where do we, what do we, when do we, how do we go from here? We have an amazing speech given by Boy George, an amazing speech given by Boy George. You think about the things that he's advocating, and we kind of predicted what we were, what he was going to say. P.J. Crawley joined me yesterday, and we predicted what he was going to, say on the air. That he was advocating a tax. Read my lips, no new taxes. Oh, Republican Party, we don't raise taxes. Well, if you have good health care, if you have decent, if you have decent health care, you're going to get taxed on it. If you have decent health care, you're going to get taxed on it. That's the gift from Boy George to you. Huh? You don't. Some people aren't rich, but they have great health care because they're in a union. So now they're going to get hit with the tax? And the poor people who cannot pay for health care, they're not going to get any benefit because they're not buying health care. It's like somebody being in a hole, a 20-foot hole, and somebody throwing a 10-foot rope. What good does that do me? All I can do is look at it. But, again, those are the solutions offered by the ADD, junkie president. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yes, I was just calling. I'm an educator, Yes, I'm an educator in the...
Turn your radio down, Percy.
Okay, I'm supposed to turn it down. Okay, I'm an educator in the county school district, and I just wanted to know the take the public school teachers would have on the replacement they hired for Floyd Irons, Anthony Bonner, with the salary he supposedly got, and with no experience in education, no experience with dealing with kids, and he was given a contract twice what teachers make. And I know teachers protested about Floyd Irons losing his job.
Teachers protested about him losing his job.
Who protested? Not teachers, but parents.
What parents protested about him?
About Irons in front of O'Brien's house, and it was all over the news.
Let's be clear about who that was, okay? Before we say there were a bunch of parents out there, we had Floyd Irons out in front of that thing. Didn't lose his job. He became a teacher, and I don't know that he's ever stepped foot in the classroom ever since that's happened. I think he's sick. Also, the other person that was out there is another person that is a cohort of his that had a contract from the district and didn't get his contract. And then do you know that Floyd Irons took some kids from school in order to protest on his behalf?
I wouldn't put it past.
To describe it as a bunch of parents out in front of Veronica O'Brien's house is not a fair assessment of it. Teachers didn't protest and parents didn't protest and kids were conscribed into protesting. So there wasn't an uproar about that. Now, back to your question about Anthony Bonner. Veronica O'Brien was the person that brought Anthony Bonner in. She wanted him to get paid $100,000+. He didn't get paid $100,000+. I think he's getting around $70,000.
Right.
That is as an administrator and as a coach.
Right.
And Go ahead.
Oh, my point is, being in education for 22 years, and I make a pretty decent salary because I'm in a county school district, but I know the salary structure in the city, and you have people who have toiled with those kids, who have done everything they could with them.
As administrators?
As administrators?
Yeah, okay, that are not making his
experience, though.
Okay, well, then that's a different thing. I mean,
right.
his salary is consistent with that of an administrator. Okay, he's not a teacher. He's not a principal. His starting salary was consistent with that of an administrator. I think that you can make an argument that that he didn't have enough experience. Although he would say, I've worked with all kinds of groups before. I've had experience with children. And also you have to understand that his role that he was hired for was that of outreach. So the question is how do you measure the outreach experience of somebody? Well, you measure it whether or not he's worked with non-for-profits before in an outreach type of a thing. Because he's kind of a celebrity type of a person, you factor that into the ability of him to outreach and connect with people and get people to connect with the St. Louis Public Schools. He gets credit for that intangible as well. And that's factored into an outreach type of position. So out of all of the administrative positions that a person can be hired for, an outreach person has a lot of intangibles that a person can be given credit for. I don't think that on paper that it was a mistake, or it could be argued that it was inappropriate for an Anthony Bonner, former pro basketball player who worked with a couple of nonprofits in an outreach position. I don't think that it can be made, an argument can be made that it was absolutely inappropriate to hire him. And secondly, I don't think an argument could be made that a former pro basketball person should not be hired as a basketball coach for a public school. I don't think I think that you can make an argument that that's a legitimate thing too. The question to be asked from my perspective, Percy, is how's he doing? And from what I have been hearing about kids, a lot of kids are dropping off of the team, not because of any kind of concern about a Floyd Irons, but because they don't like his coaching style. They don't believe that he's a good coach, that he's mean to them, that he puts them down, and that he doesn't show up lots of times. Now that's, I think, the assessment that needs to be made of Anthony Bonner's performance.
Okay. And that's a very fair assessment, and I agree with your comments on what you just said. And I guess my final comment is that as an educator, again, getting back to that, I mean, I think it was just a farce. But I agree with your comment.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, I understand what you're saying about that. About his allure as a pro basketball player could have been intangible. That got him hired.
In community outreach. He wasn't hired to run the computers. He
right.
was hired as a community outreach person. So I don't think that it was a far stretch to hire him. The question is now, what kind of job is he doing? And how do the kids like him as a coach? And from what I've been hearing from parents out here and from some kids out here, ain't not so good.
Okay,
Percy.
You have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. And between Maryville Center and Mason Road, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79, look for some slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at 44, look for some delays around the 44 interchange. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, look for traffic building. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, look for some traffic building there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge, starting to stack up a bit in the left lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit into Laclede's Landing, look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, high around 40 this evening, mostly cloudy, chance of drizzle early in the evening, then freezing drizzle and flurries throughout the night with a low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly cloudy throughout the day with a high only in the mid-30s. And Friday, not quite as cool, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 32 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting 33. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Son, what you don't understand, my words burn. So I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you plan. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Don't you look it down. My name is Liz Brown. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Huh? I don't know. Okay. Liz Brown. I was going to be a psychology major. when I went to college, I decided against it. But I took a few courses as I tried to figure out that that's what I wanted to do. And there wasn't a whole lot of emailing going on. But in my years of watching and receiving and composing emails, with very few exceptions, I have found that people who send me emails and every letter is capitalized, in fact, I've seen it in the internet, "Quit yelling at me!" That's usually a form of people yelling at you, or it's evidence of a nut job. I'm looking at these emails sent from Veronica O'Brien to members of the school board and to Desi. It's kind of a hoot. It's a hoot because when people read these, they're going to think this woman has lost her mind. How could anybody work under these circumstances? And the fact that the superintendent of the school is working under these circumstances is a testimony to her and a, "Oh my God, you're nuts," to Veronica O'Brien. Here's one. "Due to your repeated failure," and these are all in caps, "to respond to a request, I'm going to begin forwarding everything to the state so they can begin seeing examples of your best practices." You know, and I just feel like really just going high school. Whatever. You know, whatever. Send the stuff to them. It's all public record. "Borisov, please provide the documents that show that Mr. Clado took the certification test. She, you informed me." Huh? Okay. Okay. Nut job. Okay. And I have to read it again. "Please provide the documentation that shows Mr. Clado took the certification test. She, you informed me." Huh? "The application for certification and the paperwork that shows he has completed the required coursework to become certified today." All of this in caps. Are you yelling or are you a nut job? "Mr. Moss, in your response to my second request for the management letter, you stated you didn't have one and you stated it was in draft form?" Question mark. Double question mark. "Maybe I misunderstood. Please forward me a copy of all drafts or notes as soon as possible." Huh? "Mr. Sanders, I understand you supplied the post-dispatch information on behalf of the district. It appears that you had indicated that you had documentation to support the allegations of missing items, not to mention other things. I am sure you consulted Ted Lashley on this issue. Did you consult Lashley before you slandered individuals?" You see, Ron Ron, that's Veronica's new nickname, Ron Ron, is concerned about the fact that it shows up in the records that Ron Ron used the district's charge card to buy Ron Ron's Bay's some new iPod pods. Oops. Oops. And now Ron Ron is mad. And you can take that mad in any direction you want to take it in. "Mr. Sanders, I understand you supplied the post-dispatch with information on behalf of the district. It appears that you indicated that you had documentation to support the allegation of missing items, not to mention other things. I'm sure you consulted the attorney." Yeah, well, she wouldn't have been mad if he had given information that hurt Borisov, now would she? So now she's gone, what's the phrase, how the kids describe it? Buck wild. Crazy emails. "Your repeated failure to respond to request I am going to begin forwarding everything to the state so they can begin seeing examples of your best practice. Whatever. Okay. Have at it. The internet is free. Apparently, you don't have a whole lot of things to do with your time. Whatever. 1-877-920-WGNU. We have crazy stuff going on, and I just want to remind you all, Tuesday. Next Tuesday. If you don't attend any meeting, any school board meeting, or no, any meeting, any public hearing meeting, attend this one. It's from 6 to 9. It is at Harris Stowe in the main auditorium right there on the Cleed. Because Desi is coming to town and they want to hear your position on the state takeover. It is vital. It is critical. It is absolutely important that you, that we fill the auditorium. That we fill the auditorium. In ways that they have never seen before. Desi said that they are going to be taking written comments as well. This is on Tuesday. Fix your calendar right now. Fix your schedule from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you can come for 15 minutes, if you can come for 5 minutes, and if you can't, and they're going to let everybody speak. All you got to do is get there and sign up on the list. They're going to let everybody speak. So, but they're also taking written statements. So if you're only going to be there for 5 minutes and you don't have time to speak, please bring a written statement, even if it only says, do not leave our schools alone. Even if it just says, don't nullify my vote. You sign your name, you give it to them so that they have a piece of paper in their hand so that it is inescapable that you were there. Every person that is there should be handing in a comment to Desi. Write your comments down and hand it to them. Because this is critical. This is absolutely critical that we are there and that we be heard. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Michael.
I was watching the Democrat response yesterday. Did it look like to you that Jim Webb was sounding and being a little bit stifled?
Stifled?
Like he wanted to say something really bad but couldn't, like he was being held back by a higher power.
Higher power being what?
He sounded like he looked and acted like he wanted to say something real bad but couldn't for some strange reason.
I didn't get that read, Michael, but what do you suppose it was that he was not saying?
It seems like he lacked passion that he had his earlier campaign.
Really? Because he kind of looked to me just like he always did. You know, I've never thought of him at... he looks to me, and he spoke to me the same way that he always spoke. I thought I remembered him on the campaign trail being that kind of stilted. I don't remember his hair looking quite like that. I thought it was an interesting choice with his poofy hair. But that was new to me. But I don't know. I don't know, Michael. And you think that the Democrats are holding him back or the Republicans are holding him back? Who do you think is holding him back?
Probably Nancy Pelosi, because she was... I don't know what her problem is. If she wants to rule the hill, she can't be acting like sheep.
Okay. So you think that she might have told? But remember, Webb is with the Senate, so she shouldn't be able to have any play on him at all.
Well, true, but she does have Harry Reid. And that's just as bad.
Okay, I feel you. I don't know. I guess it will bear it will bear watching. To see if because he did make a remarkable statement. Senator Webb made a remarkable statement that most of the military doesn't support this war either. That's never been said by an elected official. So that was a pretty big deal. That was a big deal. And you might be right. Maybe. And if that's the case, then you ain't as tough as what I thought you were, because nobody should be able to hold you back.
True.
All right.
That's the feel I got from him last night.
And okay.
He said all the right things, but he wasn't being all the right things.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Said all the right things, but not being all the right things. Okay. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands: Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics: TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Direct from Broadway, the winner of six 2005 Tony Awards, The Light in the Piazza is the romantic new musical that transports you to 1950s Florence, Italy. You can almost feel the warmth of the Tuscan sun. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young American woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian. And so it begins. Broadway's ultimate love story, filled with passion, tenderness, and romance. The Light in the Piazza. The critics have hailed it a must-see, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. Don't miss The Light in the Piazza, coming to the Fox Theater for 2 weeks only, January 30th through February 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway series, and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111 or order online at metrotix.com. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now, let it win your heart.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
About the president's speech last night, did you notice that he slipped in the request for 92,000 more military?
Yep.
If he has to send soldiers back...
Did you notice the dead silence?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the way he slipped it in, It was like an aside, but the point was taken. I picked up on it right away.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't fill the quotas with volunteer soldiers, and he's asking for more soldiers, a budget for increasing the size of the army, how close do you think we're getting to a draft?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that he... I think that what he's going to do is he's going to fill the ranks of the army in unconventional ways so that there is no draft. There cannot be a draft because then there would be major opposition to this war. And opposition, and think of all the opposition when there aren't any, when there's no draft. Think of what the opposition would be if people actually saw their brothers and sisters being drafted into the military. So what I think he's going to do is continue to find ways to fill the ranks of the military from unconventional and historically different ways. We're going to go with undocumented workers. We're going to continue to lower the standards to fill up the roles. That way, there's no advocacy group for people like that. In fact, some people are going to say, it's worth it. I will get my citizenship as soon as I join the military. I'm in it. And therefore, think of all of the undocumented workers, undocumented people here that live in this country that want their citizenship. You could fill up the military with that.
Well, he actually touched on that. If you remember, he said that he would like to have the opportunity to ask American people with special skills to serve in the service, and they would be paid accordingly. But you also hear about contract people working over there. We have a paramilitary group of mercenaries right now. Do you think that that's the way he's going to go?
I think that any unconventional way to fill up the military, he will, because we need the military over there. From Bush's perspective, the military is necessary to protect the oil interests.
And then just one final thing, Liz. I think this man has a mental problem. I think Congress should require a psychiatric review of him, and that, in my personal opinion, he should be committed. And I think our country's in danger by having a madman like him running it.
I think that our country is in danger, true fact, by having him run it. I don't think that his mental illness, there are a whole lot of people that need to be behind, need to be institutionalized. His mental instability is something, I don't know, that needs to be institutionalized, but he certainly doesn't need to have his finger on the button.
And then one final thing, Liz. Thanks for your patience. The name Israel never came up once in his speech last night.
Interesting.
It's not interesting.
Interesting.
Thank you, Liz.
Did Access of Evil come up?
No.
All right, now.
Right on.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz.
Turtle, good morning.
I didn't hear that speech. I didn't want to hear that speech. And that speech, I made sure that I wouldn't even hear nobody say nothing about that speech last night. I don't want to hear nothing about it. And the Republicans hadn't said nothing in the last 4 or 5 years that meant anything to the general public. Everything they meant was destruction. Destruction. And if you send 20,000 more soldiers over there, you're going to have 10,000 come back dead.
All right.
Thank you, man.
All right, thank you. It was fun to hear the speech from the perspective of watching the Republicans not stand for Boy George, watching Boy George get silence from his own party, watching watching Nancy Pelosi trying to figure out when she's supposed to sit and stand. So it was interesting. I thought it was fun. I T-voted it. Yeah, I enjoyed watching it because it's great. What's the word I'm looking for? Theater. It is great theater. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I know you're going to have the school watch on 7 o'clock this morning.
That is correct.
Okay, now, I would like for you to keep on emphasizing, let us wait on the conversation about what the president did last night. You keep on, the people that's called, let us concentrate on this here critical thing that the state board is trying to take over the public school, because there's a whole lot of schools that need to be looked in besides the St. Louis Public School. And since for this meeting, it's vital important that each and every one, let us don't talk about that now. Let us be concentrating on Liz just announced to be at this meeting. Everybody try to fill it up to their ability. Am I wrong, Liz?
Mary, it's a very, very, very critical meeting. And let me let people know that may have just joined us.
Yeah.
That Desi is coming into town on Tuesday, a week from yesterday, on January 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Harristow in the main auditorium.
Right.
And they want to hear from people that are in opposition to this state takeover and the nullification of our votes.
Yeah.
So it is critical. And they're also taking, you can speak or you can have, you can write a statement out. So you need to have a statement. You need to, you know what, it would be great if people come to the meeting and bring with them 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 statements from people. They don't have to be long. You don't have to write the great American novel. You can simply say, I oppose state takeover, sign your name, and you're done with it. I oppose the nullification of my vote, sign your name, and you're done with it. It doesn't have to be any long statement. Have your children write out a statement, bring those statements, and present them to Desi there that night. Everybody should bring a box full of statements that they are in opposition to this state takeover.
Yes, that's critical, because I don't want no mass Roosevelt and no one else. I know exactly what they're after. Everybody knows what they're after. But they don't need to be like that, because I'm a former employee of the same as public school. I retired. But I think it's off all the lies and deceit. You know, it's really hard. But as I stated this morning, that they should be there for this meeting. It's more important to be discussing that than that talk about the union after. And then I want to know.
My new programmer.
Yeah. And listen, I would like to know when Peter Dow come on, if they don't, and what about the...
Okay, Mary, why don't you save your question and ask Peter when he gets here.
Okay, then.
All right?
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran,
Ms.
good morning.
Brown, I've been listening from 1 o'clock this morning till all the way through for them trying to interview prayers for the takeover as a commander over in Iraq, you know. And I thought about you. I mean, it was interesting hearing all that was said, but... I think that they really were sending the 20,000 more troops that they were supposed to send, and listening to the questioning of General Prayers, who was supposed to take over in Iraq. It doesn't seem like no one seemed like they was in favor of that, you know.
Yep.
But
yep.
It was really interesting and very satisfying. I watched from 1 until up to about 6, and I heard the president speak. I think that what he said, what I tried to read out of it, wasn't too much. But what I mean, looked like he did get through it. You know what I mean? He was able to get through it. Looked like a little better than he had done in other speeches. What do you think?
Lots of practice.
Oh, okay then.
All right now. Thank you so much. Listen, folks, my name is Liz Brown. St. Louis Public Schools Watch is coming up. You don't want to miss it. Stay with me.
You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air tell me, brother.
trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian.
On the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvin.
Our country is pursuing a new strategy in Iraq, and I ask you to give it a chance to work. And I ask you to support our troops in the field and those on their way.
After President Bush asked Congress in last night's State of the Union address, but ABC's Vic Ratner says that request may have fallen on deaf ears.
A resolution declaring that sending additional troops to Iraq is not in the national interest is what a Senate committee is considering today.
I think that's a significant step, and I believe it's within our reach.
Democrat Hillary Clinton, in his address last night, President Bush told Congress more troops are the best chance of avoiding a nightmare scenario in Iraq.
Our country is pursuing a new strategy in Iraq, and I ask you to give it a chance to work.
Some Democrats say deadlock on Iraq policy may make progress on other issues difficult. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
U.S. troops in Iraq watched the State of the Union. So did many Iraqis. So how'd it play in Baghdad?
It depends on who you talk to, really. Here, politicians, ordinary residents of this capital, which community they come from, the Sunni or the Shiite community. There are some who clearly believe their community could be helped by a much more intensive new security operation here. They don't necessarily have great confidence in it.
The BBC's Mike Waldrich in Baghdad. In the meantime, the violence continues. Gunmen opened fire on an Iraqi government leader, killing one of his guards.
Iraq's Minister of Higher Education has survived an ambush. Gunmen opened fire on his motorcade on a highway in southern Baghdad, killing one of his guards. Another guard was shot in the head and seriously wounded. The minister says he was simply heading to work at the time.
ABC's Dan Harris. Even though Iraq is getting much of the attention, President Bush also focused on domestic concerns in last night's address. He wants a 20% cut in the amount of gasoline used and changes in the tax code to make health insurance more affordable. This is ABC News.
Attention liars, cheaters, and tow truck operators. Allow us to introduce Office Max Impress, an exciting new way to improve your image with high-quality print and document services inside your local Office Max store. That's right, meter maids, music pirates, and regular pirates. Perceptions will change when you've got professionally crafted invitations, signs, and banners from Office Max Impress, all implying one thing: I'm a winner. So buck up, tax evaders, tax collectors, slime balls, and sleaze bags, because Office Max Impress can turn your image problem into an image solution.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
You know the sound of nails on a chalkboard? Well, this is kind of like that, only it's a lot worse. ABC's Linda Alvin explains.
Now that's the kind of sound that makes most of us cringe. This is pretty unpleasant, too. Both rank high in what's been a year-long quest to find the world's worst sound. Scientifically, it's not really understood why some sounds are so horrible, but acoustic experts say the study could be used to engineer bad sounds out of existence. In the rankings, microphone feedback came in at number 2, while wailing babies tied for 3rd place. Topping the list, though, was vomiting. But we won't subject you to that. Linda Alvin, ABC News, London.
Well, you better not cheer USA anymore at Baraboo High in Wisconsin. No, school officials aren't being unpatriotic, but it seems in this case USA is shorthand for something that many consider vulgar, starting with the word U. Students, parents, and some coaches say the band, though, is taking things a little too far. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This hour's WGNU News Update is sponsored by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news today, St. Louis-based grocery store chain Save-A-Lot plans to open 5 more stores in Texas soon. Save-A-Lot entered the Texas market in the 1990s and has more than 30 stores there. The new stores will be in Houston, Brownsville, Victoria, and Harlingen. In other news, legislation supported by Illinois Congressman John Shimkus and passed by the U.S. House takes away congressional pensions for members of Congress who commit certain felonies. Shimkus says, quote, "I cannot condone the actions of some former members of Congress that have come to light in the last year or so. I can only condemn it," end quote. However, Shimkus adds he doesn't feel the current bill goes far enough and that he's co-sponsoring other legislation that would be much more extensive. The current bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. And the founder and chief executive officer of Education for All, a nonprofit community organization, will speak at the regular meeting of the Gateway Media Literacy Partners Wednesday afternoon at the headquarters of the Cooperating School Districts of Greater St. Louis. Carletta D. Washington is the author of a recent book, Education Reform, The Role and Responsibility of Schools, Parents, Students, and Communities. She stresses the importance of empowered teachers and informed parents as the key to academic success for all children. That's this hour's WGNU News Update. I'm Peyton Colston. This update's been brought to you by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. Candy Bouquet, something special for that special someone, for Valentine's, birthdays, or just about any day. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 94 at Mid Rivers Mall, look for an accident blocking a traffic lane. Eastbound 40 between Hampton and Kings Highway, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's just before Kings Highway. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the landing. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect no delays. West or eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. And again from 141 to Mason. Look for no delays there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. You can expect a little bit of a backup around that 270 interchange. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for no delays. Northbound 270 on either side of 44. You can expect a slowdown. And also northbound 270 from Dorset on the 70. Look for slow traffic in the right lanes as you get close to that exit. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, high around 40 this evening, mostly cloudy, chance of drizzle early in the evening, and freezing drizzle and flurries throughout the night with a low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly cloudy throughout the day with a high only in the mid-30s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 20s. Then on Friday, not quite as cool, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 31 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 32 degrees and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It is St. Louis Schools Watch with Liz Brown and Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress has been made
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air feels the
sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
There are so many things that are going on out here that I want to see if we can squeeze all of it into this hour. Two things that I want to start off our conversation with is, one is the meeting that's going to take place on Tuesday here in the city, and secondly, I want to have a conversation about people that are running for the school board, and let's try to dissect and deconstruct the race and the candidates that are in it. First, the meeting. Desi's having a meeting here in St. Louis on Tuesday. That's the 30th of January from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe in the main auditorium right there on the Creed. What is this meeting about?
This is a meeting that basically they've bowed to pressure to get some public input on their proposal to take over St. Louis Public Schools and strip the school board, strip elected school board of power.
The nullification piece.
The nullification
piece.
So
the state takeover and the nullification piece.
Right.
Okay.
And so this is set up. I know that State Representative Jamila Nashi had pushed aggressively for a public hearing. And many others.
Many others were out there pushing on this as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so there's going to be a public hearing. Mm-hmm. And people need to pack that auditorium. There need to be a lot of people there. Give your opinions. Bring written opinions of other people.
And that's what I think is really, really, really critical about this meeting. Again, it is Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe, right on the main auditorium right there on Laclede. They're going to allow people to speak. All you have to do is go and sign up.
Yes.
And then, secondly, they're also going to take written commentary. And this, I think, is an opportunity for people to have your family sit down. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be War and Peace. You know, you can write three or four words. You know, I oppose nullification of my vote. I oppose the state takeover. Sign your name, date it, and hand it in.
Yes.
It can be as simple as that.
It can be as simple as that.
And how important is our participation at this meeting?
I think it's very important. The report that the Danforth and Freeman Committee created says that the people of St. Louis overwhelmingly support a state takeover. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to show that's not true.
And also it's important for people when they talk to talk about the flawed report of that. Because that was an absolutely partisan, flawed conclusion drawn by this by these hand-picked people that were part of the reason why the district is in this death squad, as I call them, part of the reason why, if not the main reason why, the district is in the place that it is in right now.
Yes, yes. And just one note on that, because there are a lot of people who have, including kind of a lot of establishment people, have been involved in one phase or another of looking over school district shoulders for years. who disagree with this report. More and more disagreement is coming out. I understand there was a desegregation monitoring committee meeting yesterday. Mm-hmm. And William Danforth and Frankie Freeman chair that committee. Yet, at their meeting yesterday, one person after another, they went through the whole committee, and one person after another, whether it's from the clergy, teachers' business, spoke up and said, we oppose your recommendation for state takeover.
Wow. And those two people, Freeman and Danforth, are one of the reasons why it was said that they were put on there is because of their position on that.
Yes.
So they're not even representing the interests of the people that they are part of.
Right. Right. It was assumed, all right, they're representing all these people, and now all of them are saying, no, we disagree with you. That's the wrong thing to do.
Wow. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is, good morning, Miss Leeds. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCrease School, second grade. From 209, Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kite knows his roots. His mother name is Dipa, and his father name is Amaru. Kita has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from Room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to another edition of the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Every week, Peter, I just marvel at, we have so much to talk about with this district. Every week there is something serious, something critical, something that very important that's happening in our district, and the meeting, of course, is one of those things. Let's move to this election, because we have an election coming up in April. And we have how many candidates in the field?
There are 10 candidates.
10 candidates in the field. That let's do some political math with that. 10 candidates in the field, what does that mean in terms of what the amount of votes a person needs to get to win? Do you end up having to get more, or do you have to get less when there's 10 people in the race as opposed to 4 people in the race?
Oh, fewer votes would get you in, probably, yeah.
And one of the things that I am, I guess it's important to say at this time as we look at this upcoming race in April, that it's a very important race, and people really need to not be complacent about this race because it's a very important race. It's a critical race for a lot of reasons.
Oh, very much so. I think people who want a good, locally controlled school system have to realize there's a double-barreled threat here. You know, the people trying to take away our schools they're not gambling on just one thing working. They got a backup plan and a backup plan.
And a backup plan to the backup
That's
plan.
That's right. And right now, the two main things they got, they're pushing for state takeover, if that doesn't work. But at the same time, they're running candidates in the election.
Right.
So the state takeover doesn't happen. If they can get their candidates elected, they can still get what they want at school board level.
Absolutely. And I think that people really need to not think that they have this in the bag, because the fact of the matter is that the math is that Jackson and Archibald don't have to get as many votes as Buford and Klinksdale got, and they lost.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So let's talk about some of the what may be stealth candidates that are out there in this campaign as well. We have a guy on the list that's the last person that signed up at the end of the day, the last minute almost of the time that you're supposed to file. Who is this?
Doug Petty.
Doug Petty. Now that name sounds kind of sort of familiar. Who is Doug Petty?
Doug Petty is. The only time I ran into him is 2 years ago, the 05 election.
Okay.
The school board canceled their March school board meeting to host a candidate forum then for school board. And they selected Doug Petty as the guy to moderate this school board-sponsored forum. That was a school board then dominated by, you know, it was Vince Shamel, Darnetta, Klinkscale, Archibald, Jackson, Hilgeman. So they picked Doug Petty to run the forum, and it was held at Missouri Botanical Garden. And probably it's the forum, the 3 to 4 years I've been watching the school board, that was the forum that left people most angry. Because as a moderator, he made no attempt to be impartial. He was clearly on the side of Slay's candidates. At one point, they had introductions. Give everybody 3-minute introductions. So people go through their 3 minutes. Then he gets to Bill Purdy.
Wait a minute. Let me slow down just a second. As part of the process of the forum, every candidate was given 3 minutes to talk about themselves and introduce themselves to the audience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Except when he got to Bill Purdy, Doug Petty interrupted and said, "I'm going to change the rules now. Mr. Purdy, you have 1 minute."
He said that in the middle of the forum.
He said that in the middle of the forum.
So what he got, and so who were the, like, so Vince Shamel had an opportunity to.
Well, no, this would have been the one with Flint Fowler.
Okay.
And two guys who didn't get elected.
Right.
Whose names I don't remember.
Two white guys that didn't get elected, because it was Flint Fowler and two white guys that comprised Francis Lay Slate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So whatever their names were, those guys got to give a 3-minute introduction of themselves, and then when he got to Bill Purdy, he said, "Oh, I'm changing the rules." Normally people say stuff like that in their heads. You know, you don't put it out there, you know, or you try to cover, we're running a little short on time, we're only going to be able to give you 1 minute. He said out his mouth, "I'm changing the rules, you'd only get 1 minute."
Yes, yes. And this is the beginning of the forum, and that run out of time. It's the beginning of the forum.
People try to cover it, so he, this was bald face.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with Francis Lay and his team.
Yeah, he was, yes, it was bald face like that. You had, the Purdy, I ran in that election. We try to answer a question, and he cut off. He said, "Well, I don't think you're answering the question. On to somebody else."
So go ahead.
Yeah, so he at the end of the forum, and he cut off the forum early, saying, "Well, I don't think these candidates are answering the issues that are important."
Referring to you and Purdy.
Purdy,
everybody but Slay's people.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, that forum was co-sponsored. School board got Focus St. Louis, mm-hmm. and Metropolis was co-sponsored. The people from Metropolis, I mean, some of them went right up to Doug Petty afterwards to complain. They were so embarrassed by his behavior. And they called me, they called other candidates to apologize profusely, saying, you know, they didn't know anything about this guy.
Well, who selected Doug Petty?
School board.
So that would have been the school board at the time.
Well, I should say the slate that was running the school board selected it, because there wasn't an actual vote. But it would have been, Darnetta Klinkscale recommended it.
Because at last week, we were talking about the possibility of it being a mistake that it was that Petty ended up running, or to keep the keep.
A mistake that he got on the end,
he
and then denied Archibald and Jackson the last two. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So. we have to always, I guess, when we look at these candidates and look at what's happening in this election, we have to be clear on who these people are. Let's go to Bill Monroe. Bill Monroe is also a person that's running for the board, and it's my understanding that my experience has been is that he's a super charter person, even with failed charter schools. It's all about the charter, and one of the charters that he was responsible for failed miserably. Questions of money being missing, questions of nepotism, almost everything that you can think of, questions. Some were proven, some were not, but the charter school that he was responsible for no longer exists, Thurgood Marshall.
Right. He was a founder of Thurgood Marshall and got into a fight with the management company,
mm-hmm.
Thurgood Marshall. He is now, he's promoting another charter school.
Well, wait a minute. Before we say that, let's talk about what he says that he's about, because there's going to be a number of forums out here. I know the International Urban Institute is going to be having a forum as well of these school board candidates. Talk to us about what we're hearing about how he is, recasting himself on this issue.
All right. There's some groups have been interviewing candidates,
mm-hmm.
and what I've heard, I've not been at any of those interviews,
mm-hmm.
but what I heard is that Bill Monroe says that he now recognizes that charter schools were a mistake, that that's not the solution to educating our kids.
But, okay, that's what you say. So let's talk about what you do. Do we have any evidence, Peter, that maybe he really is still a supporter of charter schools despite what it says?
Well, last spring he had submitted an application to St. Louis Public Schools to sponsor a new charter school, a charter high school.
Oh.
I think he wants to call it the Harriet Tubman Academy.
Yeah, he just wants to kill every powerful black name that's out there. Let's call it something else. Okay, because you did no justice with Thurgood Marshall. Please leave Harriet alone. But that aside.
A month or two ago, I don't recall exactly, but a month or two ago, he was he had asked me what was going on with that application. He said he still hadn't gotten an answer, and he wanted an answer on whether or not the public schools were going to sponsor that application.
So 30 to 60 days ago, he's still wanting his charter school, but he's out there, what's the word the kids use, fronting that he is not, charter schools are a bad idea. These are the types of, this is the information that people really need when they're evaluating candidates. And I think that when you see a candidate out at a forum, ask them, if you're opposed to charter schools, then why did you file an application? And why are you trying to make certain that you get a charter school? If they're a bad idea, why you want one? Why are you trying to get one? I think that's a fair question.
I think that's a valid question.
So who else do we have out there that we can talk about in terms of this election? And we're going to do that. We're going to get to some of our callers, but we're going to take a break because this is a very important election. Then I want to get to, when we come back as well, we probably need another hour or two to do this, Veronica O'Brien stuff. I mean, we need to talk about that as well.
It's a show to itself.
It's
yes.
A show in and of and to itself. My name is Liz Brown. I am here on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We have much business to talk about. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your forecast as well as your traffic. Eastbound 40 between Hampton and Kings Highway. Look for slow traffic due to an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's just before Kings Highway. Southbound 94 at Mid Rivers Mall. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Cleeds Landing all the way back through the Illinois Bank. It is slow. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. Look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from Highway 141 through Mason Road. And then again from Spady through McKnight. Look for delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays around that exchange. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant is moving well. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Big Bend is slow around the 44 interchange, and eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for some traffic building there, as well as northbound 270 from Dorset through 70 in the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy, chance of drizzle till early in the evening. I'm sorry, mostly cloudy with a high around 40. For this evening, mostly cloudy, chance of drizzle early in the evening, then freezing drizzle and flurries through the night with a low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly cloudy throughout the day, high in the mid-30s. And then a Friday, not quite as cool, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, we have 32 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Field is also reporting clouds and 32. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown, riveting radio right here on AM 920. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th. Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClean. Be there.
Real life. On the cutting edge, it's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Breeze. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. We have much business to talk about. I'm here with Peter Downs. And Peter, we're going through some of the candidates for the election in April of the school board members. Okay, we've done the bottom of the ballot. Let's move on up to the top of the ballot. Who's at the top of the ballot?
Top of the ballot is Catherine Westling.
And that's interesting. She's the only female in the entire race?
She's the only woman on the ballot, yes.
Wow. That's kind of unusual. Only one woman running. Okay, what do we know about her?
Catherine Westling is the managing attorney for... I forgot the name of the group. It's a group that Legal Advocates for Abused Women.
Okay.
What it is.
So a nonprofit group?
Nonprofit group.
Mm-hmm.
She has children in St. Louis Public Schools. And she's been an active parent. She was part of the parents group last year that raised concerns about transportation and put together a citywide forum on transportation problems.
Mm-hmm. So she's at the top of the, she's number one on the ballot.
She's number one on the ballot.
And interesting, I think that there's a backstory to that of how she got on the top of the ballot. What did she do to get that? Because that's a pretty coveted spot.
Well, she had people down at the Board of Elections waiting.
For weeks.
They start the line, I don't remember, but they have a rule mm-hmm. such that, you know, whenever nominations start being accepted, they back up a certain number of days and say, you can start waiting in line, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it is beforehand. And so she had people waiting in line from that first day.
In order to get this spot on the ballot.
In order to get that spot on the ballot.
Because that's a coveted spot because?
Because there's a certain percentage of people who will vote for the first name they see.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's really important for people to understand that if there is no change in the board majority, if Archibald and Jackson get back in, we will have the same problems that we have right now. This is a critical, critical race, and we cannot be distracted by complacency with this or the thought that even though that Ron Jackson and Bob Archibald are running on fire me once I get in, that we should eliminate the position that I'm running for, there will be people that vote for them because they believe that.
Yes.
So people shouldn't underestimate what's going to happen with this election if we don't do anything.
That's right. That's right. It's a very important election.
1-877-920-WGNU. Alfred.
Liz, this is a question only for you. Peter, I want you to answer this. Okay. Liz, do you think it'd be a good idea if this next school board election, you put on the ballot that the elected officials will get a paid salary?
I think that school board members should be paid.
Yes.
I think that they should be, absolutely, I think that they should be paid because of all, I mean, it's a full-time, it can be a full-time.
It's a full-time job.
Absolutely.
And a big headache.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that people should be paid. And I think that our older people, you know how much an older person makes in Chicago? And they represent smaller areas than our older people do? You know how much they make?
No.
Over $100,000. And I think that people should get paid because we will be able to have a focus. People will be able to focus on these jobs and do more. They have secretaries. They do everything in Chicago. This city really doesn't treat its elected officials very well. Thanks for your call and question, Alfred.
Okay, bye.
What do you think about that? Even though you may be a little partisan, and since you're sitting on the board, you think the folks should get paid for this job?
I don't know. It's a hard one for me to answer, right, because I am in that position. And I certainly ran for it knowing I wouldn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
One likes to think, you know, one likes to be idealistic and say people are going to run for things because they want to make a difference and do the right thing, and money doesn't make a difference. But you have to realize, I think, honestly, in the world we have, the time people are taking, you know, for some people, they may not be able to hold another job if they're being a school board member.
Exactly.
And just to support themselves, to be able to devote the attention needed to the job, they should be paid.
And then you don't have people that, like Archibald, it doesn't matter to him. Well, he's not in a lot of the meetings anyway, and he doesn't read a lot of this stuff clearly because of the questions that he asked at the meeting. He didn't read this stuff. But people that are that have other types of gigs, we end up with people like Archibald on the board.
Right.
You know.
Right.
1-877-920-WGNU. So let's talk about I want to talk about boilers at the St. Louis Public Schools, because this is a story that I'm certain that most people have not heard. Talk to us about boiler issues that we've had at the district.
Yeah, I have to go back a little bit on this, because people have to remind people that the operating engineers who operate our boilers were outsourced by the previous board, sent out to Sodexo, and Sodexo decided, well, we only need 5 people instead of 21.
Hmm.
So you got 5 people running around to service 93 schools. And it's you know, anybody you talk to in the district, whether it's principals or these 5 people themselves, are saying that's too much work for 5 people to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's a dangerous thing, isn't it?
It can be. Mm-hmm. Yes, it can be. So you got 5 people, and so you need somebody to in addition to the operating engineers, then you need people who are going to inspect the boilers, maintain them. There's preventive maintenance needs to be done every year, get them ready.
They could be a ticking time bomb if they're not
managed. They can be a ticking time bomb. They can explode.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier this year, the board voted 4-3 not to even discuss bringing the operating engineers back in-house so we can supervise the maintenance of our boilers.
They didn't even want to discuss
it? They didn't even want to discuss it.
And who are the they?
They would be Archibald, Jackson, Veronica O'Brien, and Flint Fowler.
They didn't even want to discuss bringing them back in.
They didn't want to put it on the agenda for discussion.
So how has that worked out for the district?
Well, what did happen is the district approved then contracts for some outside companies, some other companies, to come in to maintain our boilers. And that was October, November. Those contracts were approved. But then our president, Veronica O'Brien, didn't sign those contracts.
What do you mean didn't sign those
contracts? She didn't sign. The contracts would be sent to her and she'd return them unsigned.
So wait a minute. These were contracts. First of all, they didn't bother to talk to the people that had a vested interest and decades of expertise in maintaining the boilers of the St. Louis public schools. They didn't want to entertain that conversation, so they decided to go spend money with an outside firm to come in and to maintain these ticking time bombs of our boilers. When the contracts were approved, they have to be, as part of the process, they have to be signed off by the person that sits in the president's seat.
Yes.
And that would be Veronica O'Brien.
Yes.
Now, Veronica, I'm sitting here. I'm sorry, Peter, and I digress for one second here. Allow me to digress. I'm looking at what some people would call insane emails that Veronica, email after email after email, that Veronica sent to people in all capital letters, demanding this. I want this piece of paper. I want this piece of paper. I want the phone records from the day that you were born. I want all of these record after record after things amounting to thousands of pages, conceivably thousands of pages of documents she wants from all kinds of people all over the district right now. And there's a contract that cannot go forward to maintain the boilers that are in the schools, that are in the schools where our babies are. She hasn't found the time, didn't find the time to sign off on those contracts?
She did not sign off on those contracts. Whether or not she can find the time, I can't answer, but she did not sign off on those contracts just a few days ago.
And what happened? Did we miss a bullet?
I think it came very close. We had, last week I think it was, the boiler at Frable School went down. There's discussion in the district actually of having to move all the kids out of that school, but they're able to put an emergency Band-Aid on there. Something they know it's not going to last long, but they got it operating now. There's a boiler at Patrick Henry went down. Now, those are our new boilers there. Those were put in when the school was air-conditioned. It had two boilers. It's able to operate with one. It's able to limp along with one, but one of them did break down.
New boilers.
You had a rooftop heating unit that went down at Central High School. That just came in this year. So these are things that
were simply waiting for a 10-second signature from. And I'm just thinking to that now. I remember seeing Veronica O'Brien up in Jefferson City at the swearing-in. I remember Veronica O'Brien finding the time to take the tape from supposedly an internal private meeting from the secretary and reportedly take that tape up to Jefferson City and play it for people. I'm looking at these emails of documentation that she is demanding from other people, and yet and still these contracts didn't get signed until when?
Just a few days ago.
After all of this date. What is the explanation of that?
I haven't heard an explanation for why that is.
You haven't gotten an email?
But this isn't the first time where she hasn't signed contracts. No, I haven't gotten an email. and you're right. She is almost constantly emailing demands for documents or reports or receipts or things. It's not unusual to find out, you know, there are 8 or 10 a day she's demanding something. But she has a, you know, there are previous contracts. There's a contract involving companies that move, moving companies. So one of the things they do is these, you know, they, all these tests we give these kids, they fill boxes and boxes and they courier from school to school. And, gosh, that was approved under Craig Williams back in May or June. And I know as of November, she still hadn't signed that.
Does that cost the district money?
Yes. It, well, one, it means you can't be giving tests that, are required to do certain things. But it's also involved with moving furniture out so that you can go ahead and air condition schools. And that couldn't be done.
Now, someone somewhere was reported somewhere that there is a question of whether or not she has a company that she wanted to do the moving. Is that
well, there were the way the contract was set up, there are three moving companies. One of them, yes, the president of one of the companies, she has brought to school board meetings to introduce as a friend. So the question was raised, well, what's the real reason she wasn't signing this contract?
We will be back. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Well, washers, dryers, every single thing that you need to make your house a home. You know what? Sears has it. You need one of those little machines that sweeps your floors while you're gone. Those little robot things, they have those too. They have everything that you need to make your house a home. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge and tell them I told you to.
Harley-Davidson presents the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. It's Speedway bikes and quads modified to compete on ice. Don't miss all the heart-pounding action as ice racing superstars Anthony British Bulldog Barlow, James Demolition Man, and Charlie the Edge Venegas go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds on nitro-burning two-wheel rockets with steel-studded tires and no brakes at all. Also, don't miss the wheel grinding action of the Unlimited Outlaw Quads. Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. Kids tickets are just $5. $5. Get your tickets today at MetroTix outlets, online at MetroTix.com, or charge by phone at 314-534-1111. It's the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour. Brought to you by Doc Sarley Davidson. Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy,
investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love that African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Let's get to some of the callers here. James.
Good morning, Liz and Peter Downs. I'd like to ask the question. It seems as if Mayor Slade have backed an awful lot of candidates. Where is his money coming from?
Thanks for that question, James.
Most of the money for these candidates comes from the big corporations headquartered in town, the Civic Progress Corporations, or the big. There's a second-tier group called the Regional Business Council.
And why would they back these changes, or not back the privatization of our school district? Why would they put money? Because businesses like that invest in campaigns. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars that have been invested in keeping Slade's majority on this board. That would be fair to say, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Millions of dollars have been invested to keep them there. Why would businesses invest millions of dollars to keep Slade's group there?
Well, I would turn that question around mm-hmm. and say, why would these businesses support public education?
Mm-hmm.
These are national, international businesses. They are recruiting, in some cases, around the world. What stake? Forget about whatever platitudes they want to mouth. In reality, what stake do they have in public education here? Local business, small business, you're hiring people from here, and so that's what you want. But a business that is recruiting just kind of the, a few people from places around the world, I think they're satisfied with private school graduates
mm-hmm.
on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if they don't have a stake in public schools, then they don't really want to be taxed to support them. And one of the first actions that the Slade's majority did when they got in, they did at the same time as they announced big cutback in staff.
It was a great day for the city of St. Louis. Thousands of people lost their jobs.
They also cut property taxes. The amount of annual savings that a company like Southwestern Bell or an Anheuser-Busch was going to get from that property tax cut, they were going to get every year triple the amount that they put into that school board race.
Mm. Mm. And, okay, so it's better. They don't care because they're looking for private school graduates anyway. So they don't give a horse's patoot about what happens in public school.
Yeah, I don't know that they're necessarily looking for private school grads. But if they only need a few people out of the millions around the world who are going to school,
they can get them.
Those few who can afford private school are good enough for them.
Okay, so they don't care about that. They're going to get money back because taxes will be cut. But there's a third piece to this also. With the privatization of the schools, then we're going to have businesses like Sodexo, business like Aramark, businesses like friends of school board members that are there, or politicians that have ambitions beyond where they are right there, or politicians that have ambitions to stay. They now have a money pot that they can hand out contracts to, million-dollar contracts. We're not talking chump change, $1 million or hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of contracts to either private businesses that couldn't get in before or businesses that will help keep an elected official in office or help get an elected official to another place in their political career.
Yes, and I think Alvarez and Marcel is a good example of that. They were not in the school market until St. Louis said, hey, let's contract with this company to run our operations.
Mm-hmm.
And they have parlayed that into a new business. Since 2000, kind of the corporate takeovers had slowed down, which is what they were involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, hey, we did a great job in St. Louis, and
New
Orleans hired them. New Orleans and St. Louis, they did a great job,
right.
So New York City hires.
Right, right. So it wasn't like they didn't get paid. They got paid millions of dollars to experiment on the children of the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
Let me get to another caller here. Yes.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Peter, the truth will set you free. I am so disgusted. I'm sick of Veronica O'Brien. I wish she can go with Jackson and Archibald. I kept telling you and Peter, Ms. Brown, they were next. They do not deserve to be back on that board. I want people on that board who's going to work with Peter, Purdy, and Donna. Bill Monroe does not deserve a seat on that board. I was sick of him and that charter mess. Miss Brown, you told the truth about that, and that Thurgood Marshall mess was a big failure. I don't want him on that board, and those other people you named too. Bring me two people who are going to work with Peter, Donna, and Purdy, because this is a serious election, and I want this board to go forward. Peter, Purdy, and Donna are doing a very excellent job with Dr. Borshaw, Miss Brown. Have a lovely day, Miss Brown and Peter.
Thanks for your call. And so let's talk about something that helps make a district work. There was some training that you attended. Was it yesterday?
Yes,
okay,
last night.
Talk to us about it.
We had a work session. It's called Intensive Assistance to Districts, a program from the Missouri School Boards Association. Mm-hmm. It's actually funded by DESE to help districts that are not fully accredited.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, last night went through kind of the seven practices
of
effective school boards.
How many of the school board members were there?
Six were there. We had, at the very start, actually before it started, all seven school board members, I'd say before it started. There was a special board meeting called, Flint Fowler called a special board meeting, which was scheduled in right before the work session. When that ended, Veronica O'Brien got up and left.
And let's talk about that meeting, and then get to the work session by DESE. Talk to us about that. What happened there?
All right. The Flint called a meeting to address two issues that did not pass last week. One was some personnel changes, some new principals and assistant principals filling either new spots or because old people left. And last week, Ron Jackson had asked questions about how those positions were filled. Veronica O'Brien would not let Diana Borisaw explain it. Archibald had also said he was confused. He was confused, so he moved not to approve it. But he didn't ask any questions to clear up his confusion. Flint had sided with him then, saying, "Well, there are questions here, so until these questions are answered, let's table it." So the whole pack material that Superintendent Borisaw prepared to answer the questions. So Flint scheduled a meeting to review this material, to get the questions answered, and then vote on these personnel changes. He was late for that meeting. Before he got there, Veronica O'Brien had a vote on moving into closed session to review the personnel matters, and that failed 3-3 with Archibald Jackson and O'Brien essentially voting that they didn't want to hear the answers to their questions.
So then now you move into a DESE-provided how-do-you-be-a-good-school-board-member meeting, and Veronica O'Brien says, out of here.
Right, she gets up.
I have no time for this. I got emails to send, okay?
Right.
I got emails to send and contracts not to sign. So talk to us about the meeting.
The meeting was, like I said, two-hour presentation on kind of the seven effective practices of school boards based on a study that several state school board associations funded. And very quickly, let me just focus on one of them because I think it will resonate with people. One of them is a supportive workplace for staff. Mm-hmm. It's the districts that are excellent districts or moving towards excellence are supportive of their staff, meaning, for example, board members express the belief that changes can happen with existing people, including students, staff, and community. Those districts that are failing and getting worse are districts where board members express their belief that new staff members, more involved parents, or different students are needed to perform better.
And four of the three board members that are there right now are in the latter. We could do better.
For the last 4 years, you've heard, we need new people. You know, people in St. Louis don't know what they're doing. We need to bring in people from outside.
And parents don't care. The parents don't have any input into this.
Well, it sounds a lot like the Danforth report.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, Peter, Tuesday.
Tuesday, very important meeting. Next Tuesday, January 3rd, at 6
right.
p.m.
That's right.
Harris Stowe State University, the main auditorium on Lick Lead.
Bring your comments. DESE will be there. DESE wants to hear why you are in opposition to this. The Danforth report, we need to show them, we need to tell them that Danforth report was written by them without our approval, our input, and we disagree with it. We do not want our votes nullified. You can make. You can come and you can sign up to speak or bring written comments. And I encourage everybody, even if you sign up to speak, bring a written comment as well.
Great idea.
All right, Peter. I will see you. We'll see you.
We'll see you Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I'll see you Tuesday. We'll talk here Wednesday.
There we go. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
freedom. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He gave it last night, and today the pundits began armchair quarterbacking President Bush's State of the Union address. What did ABC News chief Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos think of it?
In his past States of the Union, he started out saying the State of the Union is strong or confident and strong. He saved that line till the end of the speech last night because he knew, I think, that if he used it at the beginning, he might not get a lot of applause in the chamber, and he might meet some resistance in the country, where almost 70% of the country believes that we're going in the wrong direction.
And a lot of the talk today will focus on the president's new plan to send tens of thousands of additional troops to Iraq. His message to Congress:
I respect you and the arguments you've made. We went into this largely united in our assumptions and in our convictions. And whatever you voted for, you did not vote for failure.
It may not matter, though. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee could consider a resolution today which would condemn the plan. Illinois Senator Barack Obama isn't surprised.
What was interesting today would be the lack of enthusiasm on the Republican side, not just the Democratic side, for the president's approach to Iraq.
How'd the speech play across the pond? ABC's Linda Alvin has a reaction from London.
It was Oscar nominee Helen Mirren who made the front pages of British papers, not George Bush. The State of the Union came too late for many overseas. The generally most people were unimpressed with what the president had to say and wondered why he took so long to get around to Iraq. There was surprise and pleasure that Mr. Bush addressed the issue of climate change, but while some welcomed the statement as encouraging, for many it didn't go far enough. There is no perception here that this is the beginning of a green presidency.
The president also laid out a handful of other domestic agendas, initiatives, and today he'll travel to Delaware to push his goal of reducing gasoline use by 20%, Mr. Bush visiting a plant that makes alternative fuels. Three Palestinian students in North Carolina say they were beaten and kicked by attackers who called them terrorists and used other racial slurs. This is ABC News.
Want to watch the football game of the year in high def? Office Depot can help with unbeatable prices on LCD and plasma HD TVs. Plus, Office Depot can deliver and install your TV. See store for details. Hurry into Office Depot or go online because these deals won't last long. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
And now a game time update from Walmart. With their oven mitt skillets and chip and dip bowls, they stand ready. Like warriors off to battle, these party throwers bust open bags of chips, arrange deli platters, cook, take, and bake pizzas, all in preparation for the big game. Their fans have gathered to taste victory. And that famous seven-layer bean dip, because it's game time. They've been to Walmart, and they're prepared to put on a show like never before.
Pepsi, Doritos, Cheez-Its, Chex Mix, and Planters Peanuts are conveniently located at our game time party display. Many on rollback. Look for it at Walmart.
It's the most talked about movie at this year's Sundance Film Festival, and not all of the talk is necessarily good. Here's ABC's David Blasting.
Hound Dog is a film featuring a graphic rape scene with 12-year-old actress Dakota Fanning.
This issue is an epidemic in our society, and people are terrified to talk about it.
Deborah Kantmeyer is the director of Hound Dog.
It's handled very delicately, very tastefully.
Sundance attendees are saying the same thing about another controversial film. One critic at Sundance called Zoo a documentary about a man who died after having sex with a horse, an elegant, eerily lyrical film. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Now, most people consider meetings to be the number one waste of time in corporate America, unless, of course, food is being served to help them pass the time. But CareerBuilder.com says what you might not know is that you might be making a bad situation worse by showing up late, for starters, not turning off your cell phone, not keeping it short and sweet when you do talk, and worst of all, just skipping the meeting. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
It's time for another WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, a low-cost carrier is coming to Lambert Field this spring. AirTran Airways from Orlando, Florida, plans to start four daily nonstop flights to Atlanta from Lambert in May. Shortly after that, the airline plans to add service to Orlando. AirTran's five daily flights will only be a small portion of the over 300 flights a day at the airport. Lambert Airport officials say AirTran's presence will be similar to that of Frontier Airlines. In other news, the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life of St. Charles is set to kick off Saturday at 10 in the morning. The kickoff event's at Schneider Real Estate. The kickoff's open to anyone who wants to learn more or about how to get involved. The relay itself is an overnight celebration involving a campout and taking turns walking around a track relay style. Another St. Charles note, the County Parks Department is looking for volunteers interested in helping work on the trails at the Brommelsick Park, soon to be opened. A trail work day is scheduled Saturday morning. Volunteers will assist the department's staff with cleaning and other work on the trails. A safety and tool usage seminar will open the session. A barbecue lunch will also be provided. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight and Timberlake Manor through Mason. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Teton Ferry and Big Bend. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for some slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the city. And northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into 70. Look for some delays in the 70 right-hand lanes. And 70 westbound from Shreve through Kings Highway. Look for a stall that's been cleared near Kings Highway. But you may see some backups. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy, high around 40. This evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of drizzle in the evening, chance of freezing drizzle and flurries through the night with a low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly cloudy throughout the day with a high in the mid-30s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-20s. And Friday, not quite as cool, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, we have 31 degrees, overcast skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 31. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, or your traffic and your weather, in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember.
say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long distance, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I think that there is a lot of information out here that people really need to be made aware of. There's a critical meeting that is coming up. We have school board members that are getting iPods for their kids on credit cards for the district. Isn't that something? The same school board members. Now, that's the accusation that's out here, that Veronica O'Brien is getting iPods for her children on her school credit card. Now, ain't that some stuff? This is the woman that talks about how the problems that we have in the district, and yet and still, we have this accusation out here that she is using the district's money to get things for her babies. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? And the same person is going up to Jefferson City to try and get legislators to shut down our district and put it in the hands of her and Francis Slay. Madness. It is so important that you all go to the meeting on Tuesday at Harris Stowe. Desi is coming into town. They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover and the attempted nullification of your vote. Tuesday, January 30th. From 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe, the main auditorium. They're accepting written and oral comments. Please write your stuff down. Even if you speak, write it down and give it to them. They need to feel like they've had a whole forest of paper coming from us. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, that's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. We had a bit of a presidential speech last night. We're going to be talking about it in the next hour. Yes, we are. We have much business to tend to. But I want to talk about a couple of things. One of the observations made about this administration and Bush himself. He talks about how he wants to unite the world. And I have to give him credit. He has united the world. And I don't think people report this the way that they need to report this. He has united the world. The world is almost entirely united against him. And that's a remarkable feat. A BBC poll that was released on Monday polled more than 26,000 people in 25 countries, including the United States. 26,000 people. Over 50% believe that the United States is playing a mainly negative role in the world today. 25,000 people, 18 countries. And where people were asked the same question in the previous 2 years, they have found a substantial drop from those who said that they viewed the United States influence as positive. 40% said that they viewed U.S. influence as positive in 2005. In 2006, It was 36% of the people believe or viewed the U.S. influence as positive. And in 2007, 29%. That's huge. According to the World Public Opinion, the United States government hardly seems to be able to do anything right. And I guess there's a distinction that needs to be made here. This is the United States government that's being assessed. This is the United States government. It's not Americans individually. It's the American government. Germany, Indonesia. 3 out of 4 respondents said that they had a mainly negative opinion of the of U.S. influence. 69% of French and Turkish respondents said the same thing. You know where the sharpest drop in positive ratings? Poland. In 2006, 62% of the Polish citizens that were polled, 62%, had a positive opinion of the United States. You know what it is in 2007? 38%. From 62 to 38%. Indonesia, it went from 40% favorable to 21%. In the Philippines, it went from 85% positive to 72%. India, 44% positive to 30%. And then in America, 65% of the respondents opposed the so-called surge of more than 21,000 additional U.S. troops. 48% called the war the most important issue today. This is what folks are saying. Two-thirds, 65% of the respondents said that they disapproved of the U.S. policy last summer during the war between Israel and Lebanon's Hezbollah. And yet and still we have so many politicians out here in our own government saying that we did the right thing. 60% of the respondents said that they disapproved of Washington's handling of Iran's nuclear program. 28%, including the majorities in Kenya, Nigeria, and the Philippines, and a plurality in India, said that they approved. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. Bob.
Yes, Liz. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm seeking counsel again this morning.
Okie dokie.
I want to know what the word "when" means.
You mean you want to know the definition
to
of
a situation of saying we have to win?
Well, it depends on.
We can't afford to lose. Does this mean that when we leave Iraq, that we'll never have fear again of anyone attacking us?
It depends on what your definition of is.
Oh, I see. We're back to that.
Okay. You know, I mean, and I think that Bob, that is the question of the day. What does winning look like?
Yes.
What does it look like?
That's what I want to know. What do we get when we win? Do we get to take care of Iraq for the next 50 years?
Woohoo! Party!
Ooh, do we get to send troops and do we get to have oil and do we own those fields and we split them up and give the European nations some so they all help us? What does win mean?
Win means, well, you know what I think win means, Bob? I think win means we get all their oil.
Oh, we get all their oil? You got it.
Okay, win means we get all their oil.
Okay.
Because if we get all their oil, what do we care? What does this government care about spending millions and millions of dollars to maintain an embassy in Iraq? An embassy, mind you, that no diplomat wants to serve.
Wants to be.
It's just
boggling. Does it mean once we win in Iraq, we can now go to Indonesia and fight the terrorists.
Well, let me break it down for you again. We talked about Somalia last week. We had a guest from Kenya who was calling in from Pakistan to break down what was happening in Somalia, that Somalia was being run by the Islamic court, okay?
Yes.
And it was and for the first time in many, many, many years, there was stability in Somalia.
Yes.
Somalia has brand new oil reserves that folks didn't know Somalia had. So what did the United States do?
They overthrew
that court. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Got to kick them out, brought in Ethiopia, their arch enemy, had Ethiopian troops there killing Somalians, they killed innocent Somalians, and now the court has been dissolved and Ethiopia has gone back home. And Ethiopia, by the way, is run by a dictator.
Yes.
And a dictator that we helped go in, overthrow something that was working in Somalia. In chaos, there is opportunity. This administration thrives on chaos because chaos means you can go in and steal people's stuff. Look, if you, in the middle of a hurricane, after the aftermath of a hurricane, there are some people that go out there and steal.
Well, this,
because chaos is opportunity.
We haven't won yet in the Gulf Coast.
That is correct.
We haven't won yet. But we're still trying to win there.
That's correct.
Okay, and once we win, then we can go to Iran because we have already defeated Iraq.
Well, they may be on the same 20-year plan for the destruction of Iran that they were for Iraq.
Okay.
Because it took them about 20 years to kill Iraq and to get in there to steal their oil. So Iran, the United States will pace itself. Although Iran is saying something that we're going to get our what we need to protect ourselves, and you better think twice about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure once we win, it will mean that I have proven to the United Nations I didn't need them. And I've proven to old Europe I didn't need them. And I've proven to my dad that I could do something he didn't do.
What?
And I have proven to the Democrats that I was right. So I guess
none of us are going to be alive for that kind of proving.
Well, thank you for the knowledge again this morning.
All right, take care, Bob. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Liz Brown.
On the car phone.
Last night, I think Mindless comes to mind when I think about what I heard. And what about New Orleans? Is it fixed?
Yeah. Where you been? Didn't you get the memo?
You know, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm up here. I'm just
stay off people's backs, okay?
I'm befuddled, man.
Okay,
what
well,
can I say?
New Orleans is fixed. Next question.
Shoot. Mohammed Mossadegh. Does that come to mind? Do you know Iran? Iraq. Before we attacked in 91, I wonder how many people out there actually know that the Iraqis were probably doing better than us.
Mm.
I wonder how many people know that.
Mm.
Before we basically coaxed him into going in there and fighting Iran and wasting all of that money, you know, I wonder how many people know that Iraqis were doing better than America.
There you go.
Under Saddam Hussein.
Mm.
And now they want to come up here and try to tell me, and this man is sitting up here with this. I mean, last night, all I could do was look at the TV and just shake my head. I just said to myself, you know, how can somebody sit up here and continue to tell these mindless lies? And they're not going to do a damn thing. We could have did something about oil in the 70s, in the 80s. But big corporations didn't want us to do that because they can't take from us. They can't make money off of us if we're getting cheap oil or if we're getting alternative energy. They can't make the money that they want to make. And then I have to sit up here and listen to this man tell these lies and got all these people around him standing up clapping. Clapping about what? When's the last time somebody went to New Orleans and talked to those people down there and see that they haven't did a damn thing? But we're spending billions of dollars in Iraq? What in the hell is going on here? And look at your school board and your school situation in this city. And look at your mayor, a microcosm of George Bush. I mean, I don't understand these people. This is just driving me crazy. Because I want to sit here and say we live in a country that has so much. We're spending $600 billion in Iraq. For what? What are we getting out of this besides dead and wounded kids? And these people, when he wants to sit up here and tell me about freedom, he's not trying to free a damn. What he's trying to do is free up that oil for Bechtel, Halliburton, and the rest of these clowns, buddies that he's lining in their pockets with. That's what the deal is.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
All right now. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for slowdowns there. West or eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and then again between Spady all the way into look for some delays there as well. Or ballast through McKnight, excuse me. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Big Bend. Look for some delays going on around the 44 interchange there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for some delays as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well at the top of that ramp. Westbound 270 from Old Hall Ferry through West Florissant. Look for delays. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Hanley, you've got some slowdowns. And northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, look for delays around the 70 interchange. That is a look at your traffic for this hour. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy, high around 40 today. This evening, mostly cloudy, drizzle in the evening, then chance of freezing rain and or flurries after midnight with a low in the mid-20s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly cloudy throughout the day, high in the mid-30s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, we have 32 degrees, overcast skies. Lambert Fields reporting 31. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 McLean. Be there.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Revenge!
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day.
Okay,
the war today, I mean the conflict today, and the conflict back in the 40s, I guess, the one where the Soviet Union was. It's a big difference. In this seem to be war conflict, there's only a few people making money behind it, considering. Now, during the time when the Soviet was coming, or the Russians was coming, American people was making money behind this threat. The reason I say that, I'm looking at this fight going on over there. I'm looking at bullets flying everywhere, hoods jumping out of guns. Now, back in the day, we had a plant up here on Goodfellow and Highway 70. A lot of my friends was up there making bullets and ammo. I had a job at Kisco. I used to weld buckets that would keep the ammo dry if it fall off in the water. That was my job. What grassroots peoples are making any money behind all these billions of dollars of war games going on?
The war profiteering of 2007 is a lot different than war profiteering of the 40s, 50s, 60s, etc. We're not. Citizens are not
making
money.
Who's making the bullets?
Yeah.
A foreign country?
Mm-hmm. Cheaper.
I mean, all this thing that I have speak of over here is making a Humvee, a bulletproof vest, and stuff of that nature. I never hear of behind that bullet plant.
One would think with all of the trillions of dollars that are being spent that there would be, our economy would be a different place.
I hear no hiring at ammo plants or army plants or nothing of that nature with all this bullet flying over there.
Great point. Thank you.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Liz?
Yes, Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Liz, I heard the president of the United States once again to deliver his State of the Union address. Liz, it's very troubling at this time when there America will not win in this war. That is my judgment call. And for the Democrats to have exploratory committees for the presidency, they're wasting time. They are wasting serious time here. And it's not a, there is grumbling going on in the military. They might as well, Liz, for the first time in America, the military will have to stand up and to relieve the president, commander-in-chief, and move the chair once again into the presidency, President Pelosi. And it is hoped that she would end this war like Big Man and move this nation forward.
Right.
We have no time to people coming out for the presidency for the next 2 years. We don't have time for that. You're wasting time. The time is now to get him out by the military.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU.
the world gets who Boy George is. And it is fascinating how this country doesn't get it. And I don't mean just George Bush, because there are plenty of people out there that do get George Bush, but the amazing piece is that there are plenty of people that don't get this. The BDs out there, the Bush defenders out there that act as though this is some kind of sporting event. That it matters not which team you're on, but that you are a good fan and you support your team. This isn't about a team. This is about what is right and what is wrong. We are engaged in a war that is illegal, immoral, and just plain wrong. And the war is a cover for this administration using your name can go in and steal their oil. It's fascinating to me to hear people to say that we have oil interest in the region. Iraq doesn't belong to us. I mean, we covet their oil. We want some of the oil. We'd like to be in the decision-making of the oil, but how do we have oil interest in somebody else's country? That's their oil. But people use that kind of language all the time, and then you have citizens that sign on to that same type of language. And then before you know it, people are acting like, yeah, we have oil interest there. No, we have oil desires there. But it's their country. Our government is there to steal the oil that is the cheapest to get. Iraq has, some are saying, the largest oil reserves in the world. Others are saying the third largest in the world. Their oil, all you have to do is stick a pipe in the sand, and you're going to get oil. It costs $1 a barrel to mine the gold from Iraq. Oil is selling for $54 a barrel. Oil is selling for $54 a barrel. How much money of profit if it costs you a dollar to get it out of the ground? What's your profit in a $54 a barrel oil? Good money, huh? Jake.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Can we talk about the school district for a second?
Certainly.
Is this district failing these students?
Is this district, in some respects, this district is failing the students. In other respects, there are wonderful things that are going on in this district. So it's really hard to say because I'll give you an example. When you survey parents and you ask them about the school districts, parents will say, I don't like the school district. But when you ask them about the school that their child attends, they have great things to say.
What's the graduation rate? Do you have any idea?
I don't know what the graduation rate is. I know it's not good. It's not good. It is absolutely not good. Absolutely not good.
What's the dropout rate? Do you have any idea?
I think that the dropout rate has changed in the last 4 years, and it has gotten worse. It has gotten worse.
Kids who do survive this district and make it out of this district,
mm-hmm.
do they compete at university or as they apply?
Do all students?
In this area?
Do all students?
The ones who survive. Let's just take the ones who survive.
I resent that characterization that the kids that come out of this district just survived it. There are plenty of children that do quite well coming out of this district. In fact, black children in this district, when they are in magnet schools, do better than black students in county schools and in private schools.
What's the percentage of magnet schools as it compares to the regular high schools in this district?
What is the I don't understand the question.
How many magnet schools are in the high school in the St. Louis City District.
We have a
many magnet schools?
How many magnet high schools?
Yes.
Okay. I think there are about, maybe there are about four.
Can you ask? I was just listening as you and Mr. Downs were pondering why civic or business leaders in this city would have a vested stake. Do you think they are in a position to evaluate their applicants?
Their job applicants?
Yes.
Of course they're in
a
position.
How about universities?
Of course they're in a position to do that. Yes.
Could that be part of the struggle the state's having right now with whether to take over the district or not, as they see the great negative liability that this district has become?
Well, then again, we have to break that down, because the state isn't doing that. What we have is DESE, through the leadership of Kent King, has put together a group of people that were pushed at the behest of Francis Slay to take over this district. This is not a state movement. This is a movement of one individual being pushed by Francis Slay. Now, why is it? And if you talk to most legislators do not want to take over the St. Louis public schools. And they don't want to take over any public school, whether it's St. Louis or any other school. They don't want to do that.
So there isn't any
state conversation, as you described it, about taking over the St. Louis public schools.
Okay, now the mayor of this once great city, does he not have, if nothing else, an image problem between the most dangerous city on the planet, this school district that he is hardly a jewel in the crown of this once great city? They are attempting.
Neither is the mayor.
He is the mayor.
He's not a jewel. He's not a jewel in the crown either, but go ahead.
Well, I believe that would be his responsibility. If he's not working on it, who is?
Well, there are most states in America, the mayors are not working on the school district because they have other business to tend to. They leave it to the other elected officials that are running the school districts. And every time that you've had a mayor, and I'll use Chicago as an example, the school districts have gotten worse as a result of the meddling by the mayor. And when you look at the decisions made by the mayors, we find that a lot of the money in the school district went to entities that were all about keeping that mayor in office. Chicago is a good example of that. Should mayors be concerned about school districts? Of course. And they should engage in behavior that help the school districts, as opposed to engaging in actions as this mayor did that plummeted the school district down dozens and dozens of accreditation points. Stay out of it. You're an incompetent. You can't do it. You messed it up. Leave it alone.
A lot of cities haven't suffered the fleeing of...
Oh, sure they have. White people have been fleeing all over this country. Suburbs in America are fifth. Because of race. Because of race. Because of race. That's why... Oh, that's what people use as their explanation. But people flee cities because they get black. Where have you been? They fled cities because of black people. People got out of school districts because of black people. People created private districts because they didn't want their kids in schools with black people. Know your history. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else? Where else? Indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing you need to make your house a home. Get on over to Sears. They have wonderful customer service. They have a wonderful location, and they have wonderful selections. It's time to get your shop on. It's the weekend. Get on over to Sears and tell them I told you to.
The Repertory Theater of St. Louis presents its 5th annual Food and Wine Experience on Saturday from 11 to 6 and Sunday from noon to 5. This event, presented by Schnucks, includes 2 full days of freshly prepared foods and over 400 wine samples from the world's premier growing regions. Proceeds benefit the educational outreach programs of the theater. Tickets are on sale now through the Rep Box Office at 314-968-4925 at all area Schnucks locations or online at repstl.org. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th. Tuesday from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClean. Be there.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
There is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it proud and know the sound of truth. In every soul there is a memory, a standing tall, the proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall we were born in majesty.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
I was just calling. I haven't weighed in on this whole school board thing for a while. But my question is, and I'm going to try to make that meeting next week, where was DESE when, or the people who were wanting the state to take over, when DESE kind of ignored the $5 million man who did not have the credentials to come in and run a school district? Where were they, as you said, when we were only 1 point from accreditation under Cleveland Hammond? And then everything started to slide down with Mayor Slay's board. Where were the people then? Where have these people been over the last 30 or 40 years when education across this country has been sliding? And part of the problem is that we're still trying to educate students in a modality that goes back to the days when the majority of the people lived on farms. That's why we still got a school in June. Nobody's planting crops anymore. So, I mean, educational system nationwide needs to be revamped. So the problems we're having here are indicative of problems everywhere. There was a documentary on about people coming from small towns, almost lily white, who were valedictorians in their classes in their small school districts, who got to college and could barely cut the mustard. And these were considered the cream of the crop. There was nothing to do with black kids or poor kids or whatever. These were white kids. So, you know, everything is local, that's true. But this is a nationwide problem.
Well, and the takeover
when Roberti was here.
Well, and that's a very important point, Earlene, that and that was one of the questions that one of the new state board members asked Kent King. What have you been doing prior to your statement now that we want the state to take over this district? What have you done in the meantime? When the district lost 15 points, what did you do? You kept the same players in place. When the district lost 20 points, What did you do? You kept silent and you kept the people in place. What happened when the district lost 26 points? What did Desi do? Desi has been missing in act. In fact, I think that the blame for the loss of accreditation points can be laid squarely, absolutely, and completely at the feet of Kent King, because it was Kent King who gave the waiver to Roberti against the direction, against the influence, against the concern of citizens, of parents, teachers, and citizens out here. He went ahead and gave the waiver, and we lost 26 accreditation points. So Desi isn't about helping this district or making certain that this district has done well, at least not under the leadership of Kent King.
I think they're probably civilly and almost criminally liable for what has happened.
And then when you listen to the tone and the question of people like the last caller who called in to talk about how people escaping the St. Louis public schools, that type of hateful, racist, ugly statement about education in the St. Louis public schools is one of the reasons why a person like Kent King feels comfortable in saying, oh, just give control over, because they see the district as nothing but a cesspool of nothingness. And that is an absolute lie about this district. An absolute lie about this district with the teachers and the children that are in there. It doesn't take rocket science on how to educate kids. You need small classrooms and dedicated teachers. Period. Dot. That's what you need.
How many times have they had scandals out in Fort Zumwalt?
That's right.
Out in St. Charles.
That's right. They don't call it. They don't. Wait a minute. In Fort Zumwalt, they had a guy that was selling so much cocaine out there, they called him the king of cocaine. In the school, a teacher selling this stuff. But they don't talk about the cesspool or escaping St. Charles. Come on now.
Well, it's about the color.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's all about the color of the people involved.
Yes, it is. And district, suburbs are here all over this country because white people fled the city as the city became blacker and blacker and blacker. Period.
And even in places where the people weren't black, as economic times changed, as the government gave VA and FHA loans, whites escaped cities where they were majority white because they could move out to the suburban areas. And the suburban area was made and created with government money.
Except for black people that were trying to get the loans that were denied the loans.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
That is
so
correct.
People have, Gil Scott Heron say, they have convenient amnesia.
Thanks for your call.
Take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. There is a meeting on Tuesday, January 30th. Please be there. Desi is coming to town. They want to hear from you about why there should not be a state takeover. They want to hear from you. 6 to 9, Harris Stowe, Main Auditorium. You'll be allowed to speak. And if you don't want to speak, just take a moment. Write down why you don't want this, why the state should not take over the district. And hand that piece of paper to them. They should have so many slips of paper, so many comments from you all, that it's going to take them several trips to get back to Jefferson City. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown, and thank you for taking my call. Listen, darling, when I first came to St. Louis, we had a district with names. In the mighty Banneker district, there was a black man named Dr. Samuel Shepherd, known all over the world because of what we did down there in the great Banneker district. When that district scored higher on the hour test of basic skills, which was what we were using at that time, but we used no hour test materials in the school system, they decided to change it and rearrange the whole thing. Dr. Samuel Shepherd should have been superintendent of this school, but you know the color of his skin was black. And it was not allowed, so he went to Indiana. Since then, we have gone down little by little, but we flew down once William Roberti got here. We had full accreditation, and we lost a little bit, but Dr. Samuel Shepherd had the parents involved in the Banneker district. Our children did better, and when they went to other states, people could not believe that these poor black children
were doing this well. They say, how did this happen? So black people have done well here. One other thing I want to cite for you was down in Tennessee, I think it was the state of Tennessee, blacks moved out into a suburb, had beautiful homes, and the state of Tennessee and the TVA authority wanted to bring this high voltage wires across their houses. They had to go to the Supreme Court to get that stopped. So they don't want us to have anything decent in this country, even as a community. As when we get together as groups, but we still have to fight racism.
Thanks
and
for
you
your
have
call.
A wonderful show, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvinger. He made a name for himself in the Duke University rape case, but now the hard-charging prosecutor has found himself on the other side of the law. This time accused of breaking it. Here's ABC's Aaron Kutursky.
The new accusations against Durham County District Attorney Mike Nifong are far more serious than earlier complaints. The North Carolina State Bar now says Nifong withheld DNA evidence from lawyers defending the Duke University lacrosse players and made misrepresentations to the presiding judge. Previously, the State Bar had charged Nifong with making public statements that violated several ethics rules. Nifong has been removed from the Duke case. He faces a disciplinary hearing. He could be disbarred. Aaron Kutursky, ABC News.
Now, the president usually starts his State of the Union address with a comment on how strong the union is. Not this year, though. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The president's speech ended with a line usually used at the beginning of the annual address.
We can go forward with confidence because the state of our union is strong. Our cause in the world is right. And tonight, that cause goes on.
The president's appeal for support in Iraq has not changed the congressional dynamic. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee votes today on a resolution objecting to his troop buildup. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president wants a tax credit for health insurance to make it more affordable. This woman in Detroit isn't sure she buys it.
I think that they're not concerned about the patient's health. I think they're more concerned about finances and profit and more than the patient.
Mr. Bush tours an alternative fuel plant in Delaware this morning to push another one of his plans for less dependence on gasoline. Three football players from North Carolina's Guilford College are under arrest, accused of beating three Palestinian students and calling them names. Two of the alleged victims went to school with the athletes. Guilford College, by the way, is a Quaker school. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 36 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is ahead 13. This is ABC News.
Want to watch the football game of the year in high def? Office Depot can help with unbeatable prices on LCD and plasma HD TVs. Plus, Office Depot can deliver and install your TV. See store for details. Hurry into Office Depot or go online because these deals won't last long. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
And now a game time update from Walmart. With their oven mitt skillets and chip and dip bowls, they stand ready. Like warriors off to battle, these party throwers bust open bags of chips, arrange deli platters, cook, take, and bake pizzas, all in preparation for the big game. Their fans have gathered to taste victory. And that famous seven-layer bean dip, because it's game time. They've been to Walmart, and they're prepared to put on a show like never before.
Pepsi, Doritos, Cheez-Its, Chex Mix, and Planters Peanuts are conveniently located at our game time party display. Many on rollback. Look for it at Walmart.
He had a needed a kidney, and she had one to give, but these two people now share much more than just an organ, ABC's Bob Schmidt explained.
Rabbi Andrew Bossoff had known for about 10 years that one day a failing kidney might have to be replaced. Methodist minister Karen Oneste had heard the rabbi was on the list for a transplant. As his condition got worse, she made the decision to give him one of her kidneys. Turns out Reverend Oneste was a more suitable donor than members of Rabbi Bossoff's family. Between interfaith services, weddings, and bat mitzvahs, the rabbi and the preacher worked out logistics for the surgery being done at a Philadelphia hospital. Reverend Oneste's congregation is holding a round-the-clock vigil to pray the operation will be a success. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
Feeling a little overexposed in cyberspace with your page on MySpace and Facebook? Well, help is on the way for a fee. Of course, you can log on to ReputationDefender.com and they'll work to rid you and yours of just about any bad online publicity unless it comes from the government or the cops. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colson. In the news this morning, several area residents were recently honored with the St. Louis chapter of the American Red Cross's Lifesaver Awards. They were Kyle Hinkey of Maplewood, a lifeguard with Clayton Parks and Recreation who saved a high school swimmer, Sean Johnson of O'Fallon, and John Ferreira of DePere, who administered first aid to a co-worker who had a seizure. Several individuals who helped save a girl shocked by downed power lines after a car crash in Edwardsville. Randy Simmons, a Maplewood Richmond Heights High School sophomore, helped rescue an 8-year-old girl from the bottom of a hotel pool. Paige Stem, a 10-year-old Girl Scout from Belleville who saved her grandmother when she was choking on food. Jackie Rahm, a Red Cross volunteer instructor who performed CPR on her husband when he suffered a heart attack. Some news out of Jefferson City. Governor Matt Blunt has announced his plan to increase education funding in the state of Missouri for the third year in a row. The governor announced his proposed budget for FY08 will include an additional $214 million for Missouri K-12 classrooms, bringing the total increase to more than $500 million over the last 3 years. Some of the increases to education funding include $2.9 million to fund incorporating technology into instruction and learning, $2 million for parent-teacher programs, $1 million for after-school programs focusing on math, science, and health, and $250,000 to encourage students to take advanced placement courses. And another educational note, in St. Charles, the school district is considering adding 15 minutes to the school day. Officials there are also considering starting classes at different times next fall. Administrators say 15 minutes adds up to 7.5 days over the course of the school year, and add that the extra minutes would also allow some flexibility to offer professional development for teachers and enrichment activities. Changes are intended to save money, increase teacher salaries, and improve academic performance. St. Charles District serves about 5,700 students. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 from K through T.R. Hughes. Look for traffic easing due to an accident that's been cleared at T.R. Hughes. Southbound 270 between 70 and Dorset. Look for an accident cleared as near Dorset Road. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB is looking good. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason is on the move. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255-270 interchange. Looks like everything is still building a bit, but it should be okay. Westbound Kingbridge traffic into the landing is on a move. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is starting to ease up this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for no delays. Northbound 270 at Highway 70, that interchange is still a little sluggish, but you should be okay this hour. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy day, high around 40 this evening. Mostly cloudy, chance of drizzle early in the evening, and chance of freezing drizzle or flurries throughout the night with a low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy again, becoming partly cloudy through the day with a high in the mid-30s. And Friday, not quite as cool, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Currently, we have 32 degrees and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Last night. An unpopular president. A seriously unpopular president. Went to Congress to talk about to defend a seriously unpopular war. And he spoke in front of a new Democratic majority Congress. And boy, George couldn't find much love. What are the odds? Unpopular president, unpopular defense of an unpopular war. Even Republicans are fleeing the good ship, Boy George. When George W. Bush last night said, "I want to send more troops to Iraq," the silence was deafening. And in fairness, many of the Republicans were studying their Blackberries to see if they had gotten any text messages. Mark Foley aside, one would think that they would be a bit uncomfortable looking at their text messages post-Mark Foley, but nevertheless, given the pressure, given the choice of having to look at Boy George and not clap or look down at their blackberries. That's what Republicans were doing. These are tough times to be George W. Bush. He actually did something that his father, who he's not speaking to, so they say, kind of cringed at that one. His solution to health care was to raise the taxes on those who have great health care. What the, huh? Oh, this man is an enigma wrapped in a mystery. What are you talking about? Well, we need to talk about what he talked about last night. We need to deconstruct, if you will, the State of the Union by an unpopular president defending an unpopular war. Lorelei Kelly, the policy director of the Real Security Initiative, the White House project, is joining us from Washington, D.C. to help with this deconstruction. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Direct from Broadway, the winner of 6 2005 Tony Awards, The Light in the Piazza is the romantic new musical that transports you to 1950s Florence, Italy. You can almost feel the warmth of the Tuscan sun. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young American woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian. And so it begins. Broadway's ultimate love story, filled with passion, tenderness, and romance. The Light in the Piazza. The critics have hailed it a must-see, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. Don't miss The Light in the Piazza, coming to the Fox Theater for 2 weeks only, January 30th through February 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway series, and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111 or order online at metrotix.com. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now, let it win your heart.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Now there's an ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told, hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed. Do you want to be loved?
Welcome back to the wake-up call. Not much love found on the floor of Congress last night. We need to talk about this State of the Union address. My guest this hour is Lorelei Kelly, Policy Director, Real Security Initiative, the White House Project, joining us from Washington, D.C. Lorelei, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So you took some time out of your busy schedule last night to take a look at, George W. Bush's State of the Union address. First thoughts on it?
Well, I think it was mostly a damage control speech. I think that a lot of the ideas in there were recycled from years prior, and the more progressive sounding rhetoric, actually, I think we've all heard before about energy and health care, and he put forward these ideas, I think, and get people's hopes up. But actually, in the last six State of the Unions, he's mentioned energy, renewables, and doing a better job with our addiction to foreign oil, but actually never followed through on any of it. And then when he went into the foreign policy, national security area, I really think he departed from reality. I don't know how you can talk about the consensus of the American people being behind this war and the objectives that he keeps putting forward. It's almost like he's on a autopilot talking points from 4 years ago, and nothing much has changed despite the polls, despite the feedback we're getting, despite the fact that this very same day another poll was released, an international poll that showed that the Americans' reputation in the world has plummeted yet further. So all of those things made me think that it was sort of recycled and trying to get some more mileage out of some tired old ideas that actually have not been implemented. And the thing that I thought was mostly, you know, most egregious in this speech, that New Orleans wasn't even mentioned.
Not one word was said about that.
It's shocking to me.
And the other piece of it is this health care piece of it. It's kind of a mystery how this thing is supposed to work. Is he actually saying that some of us have too good of health care and we need to be taxed because of it?
I'm not a healthcare specialist, and so I can't talk about sort of in the weeds details on this. But what it seemed to me is a way to shift the incentive, which would be typical for a conservative. But the problem is none of the solutions that he offers actually deals with the millions of Americans who have no healthcare. And the other thing that I've read about it is it drives a lot of people into this individual healthcare plan. And what will happen then is they'll be at the mercy of, you know, private companies who offer health care, and they'll get rejected.
And let me read some of his words. It says, tonight I propose two new initiatives to help more Americans afford their own insurance. First, I propose a standard tax deduction for health insurance that will be like a standard tax deduction for dependents. Families with health insurance will pay no income or payroll taxes on $15,000 of their income. Single Americans with health insurance will pay no income or payroll taxes on $7,500 of their income. With this reform, more than 100 million men, women, and children who are now covered by employer-provided insurance will benefit from the lower tax bills. Well, the problem with health care is, isn't it that most people can't afford it?
Yeah, so I mean, how you gonna understanding, and so it doesn't get to the root of the problem, that it's cosmetic and that even some of these incentives might, you know, be good if you, around the edges, but they don't fundamentally address what's wrong with our country.
It's like throwing a 10-foot rope into somebody that's in a 20-foot hole.
Exactly. But, you know, my whole impression of this administration, and I might sound a little bit more cynical or skeptical, and I consider myself an optimist, but I worked in Congress for almost 9 years during the 90s and up until last spring. And I think that one of the things the Bush administration has done is just turn public relations into their governing philosophy. So it really doesn't matter what the substance of the policy is, as long as it sounds good. It's sort of, they want this shiny speech with a lot of great rhetoric that sounds good, but then because it's so much more difficult to hold elected leaders accountable, because it takes a lot of attention, and frankly it takes a lot of manpower to hold elected leaders accountable, they don't follow up on that part of governing.
Well, but this speech was a little bit different because PR isn't anything that is exclusive to this administration. PR has become really the industry for so many businesses. Here in the state of Missouri, PR, when we have a mayor that's trying to take over the public schools, even though public sentiment is against it, they engage in PR millions of dollars to try to make their case. So PR isn't exclusive to him, but and PR is being used. But the other piece of it is that was different about this particular speech at this particular time is he didn't even have a lot of Republicans on his side, and that's not something that he's ever experienced before going into one of these speeches.
Well, you mentioned you were watching the audience and seeing how so many of the Republican side of the chamber were checking their BlackBerries. I wish they were checking their BlackBerries in 2003 when Congress was rolling into this war.
Yeah.
Maybe if they would have gotten some alternative wisdom or some ideas or somebody putting on the brakes at the last minute, we would all been spared this terrible situation over there. It's taken hundreds of or thousands of American lives, and who knows how many, possibly 100,000 Iraqi lives. The UN report that came out earlier this week said 34,000 this year alone. And I was just reading how the numbers are just keep going up, thousands of Iraqis being killed, civilians, mind you. This is old people, women, children, people who can't get out of the way are dying for this. And the answer that they can come up with is to send more combat troops. And I work a lot with the military. I completely respect the institution. I work probably as much with the Army and the Marines as I do with any institution or organization here in D.C. And I feel like this administration has put our military in a situation that they would have never gotten into on their own.
For example, what do you, by that you mean?
That they would have never. Basically, everybody says the military is a conservative institution. It's conservative in a traditional way, which means it's cautious, and it acts preventively whenever it can, and in fact believes as an institution that you only use force as a last resort. And in fact, that these kinds of conflicts, these kinds of identity conflicts, don't render themselves to be solved by military force. That the military is the wrong kind of tool if you want to influence a situation like this.
Well, then, getting back to the speech, did you hear anything, any words that George W. Bush spoke, that the D word, the diplomacy word? Because what you're talking about are diplomatic ways of dealing with things.
Well, the Iraq Study Group, which came out last month, said, or I guess it was last month, said that, we need a diplomatic offensive in the area that's regional that brings Iran and Syria to the table. Well, on the one hand, so you have this panel of graybeards saying this quite sensible step forward, and on the other hand, you have a president who just engages in this belligerent rhetoric about Iran. You have American troops going and occupying Iran into a Iranian consulate in the north of Iraq and detained four or five Iranians. I mean, these kinds of things are very provocative and shouldn't be done lightly at all or as any kind of, tactical maneuver by the military, because they have huge implications. It's just escalating the rhetoric and escalating it with actions. I think, this president talks about that, but he doesn't have a plan in place to actually have a diplomatic offensive. And Condi Rice has gone over there, and we've seen how she's not being received well in the region. People don't believe what we say anymore, and that whole idea of moral legitimacy and legitimacy in general, that we're going to do what we say we're going to do, has really been squandered over the last 5 years. People just, I mean, it's similar with Congress. I remember in the early part of this decade, people are willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt. That's just not true anymore. And you see that in his own party.
But then again, we have George Bush in this speech asking people to give me a little bit more time to fix this.
Well, I mean, and you see his diehard, followers who are going to do that. And they probably were checking their BlackBerries because they are in continual contact with their base, which is, far right, and who will walk the plank for this president. So I'm not that surprised but I do think that, reality is going to set in eventually, and even more and more of those hard right, steadfast supporters of the president will probably peel off.
And one of the things you talked about that was not mentioned in the State of the Union address, the issue of Katrina, the aftermath of Katrina, New Orleans, Mississippi, in the Gulf Coast region. What about women? Did he make any mention about women, given the fact that we had this historical moment last night where we had the first speaker, first woman speaker, acknowledged by Bush? Did we have anything that pertained to women?
I think that was it. I think that was, that was a nice moment. It set it off very nicely. It was sort of sentimental for Speaker Pelosi. But, no, I didn't hear anything in the remainder of the speech that would suggest that he's doing anything special for women. That said, there were a couple times that I slipped away to put the Baby Einstein CD back in, because I have a 5-month-old who you might hear in the background. But I didn't hear anything.
And I've read over the speech, and I listened to the speech, and I watched it, and I didn't hear or read anything about that as well. Again, when you look at the issues that confront us, he says, and I made a note of this, he said that our economy is doing well. And do you get a sense of that, Lorelei, that we're doing well economically as a nation?
Well, I don't. I mean, what I've read about is that, we have these skyrocketing deficits, and that the largest contribution to the deficit is his tax cuts. I mean, and the really shocking part to me is working with the military like I do, seeing how they've been asked to accept all the sacrifice and all the burden and all the death and all the grief, their families. And the rest of us, especially the most wealthy among the American population, are getting more and more wealthy and getting more and more back from the government. It's just wrong. And it needs to be countered full force with a new and different philosophy of government, which I actually think that Senator Webb delivered, if you watch that part of the broadcast.
And let's talk about that when we come back. I'm talking to Lorelei Kelly, Policy Director, Real Security Initiative, the White House Project, joining us from Washington, D.C. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning, this hour, we're talking about the State of the Union Address. Lorelei Kelly, Policy Director of the Real Security Initiative, the White House Project, is joining us from Washington, D.C. to have this conversation. We're talking about the Democratic response, the Democratic majority response to George Bush's State of the Union Address was given by Senator Webb. And what did you think of his response?
I thought it started out a little bit slow, but I thought that he hit some very important points right on
the
head.
Just before we get to that, did he just seem a little nervous or tight or?
Well, sure, but this guy used to be a Republican.
I know.
An appointee, and he is, former military, which tends to be a little bit more traditional and maybe a little tight, dodgy.
A little tight, yeah.
And he's also, this is the first time he's ever done this. I can imagine how it might feel to be really almost intimidated by being the single voice that's supposed to respond for not only your 90 or your 50 colleagues in the Senate, but, over 200 people in the House of Representatives. So I think he did a really good job when he got rolling. And I thought the most important point that he set out, something that I feel the American public needs to revisit, is just you know, the whole idea of war and peace and who's responsible for that. Because in a lot of what I see, and certainly when I worked on Capitol Hill, and we paid attention to movement politics as well as spokespersons and what was happening in the media, is that at the end of the day, what Americans need to understand in war and peace is that the civilians are in control of everything. And in fact, the president, the commander-in-chief, is the one that decides to send a country's soldiers to war. It's not the military as an institution itself. And in my view, this administration has just been, you know, grievously, you know, clumsy in its handling of the military as an institution, from using its symbols and its rhetoric and its sort of belligerent image to gain votes or to scare the American population. The best example of this was when the president landed on an aircraft carrier, I guess it's almost 3.5 years ago now, and said mission accomplished. That was just wrong. One of the most important parts of the American democracy is that civilians control the military, and that's worked. But the, you know, the hidden bargain in that is that you don't exploit them and that you don't send them off to war carelessly or for your own personal reasons. And I've seen the arguments that, yes, a lot of members of Congress in both parties believed that the intelligence showed that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. But frankly, in retrospect, it looks like the decision to go to war was already determined at the outset of the administration. And that is the most careless way to treat the people who are public servants, who have joined this organization, who are willing to sacrifice their lives. And undoing the damage of that, I think, is going to take years. The trust and this knowledge that it's not the military's institution, it's not these people in uniform, it's the president who's responsible for that. And he let them down. He let the American people down. And I think Jim Webb, as somebody who has served and who has a son over there, made that point very clear.
One of the things that Senator Webb said that I thought deserves a lot of conversation is he said, talked about how the majority of the American people do not support this war, the majority of the, you know, the elected officials don't support this war, and he also said the majority of the military don't support this war either. I thought that that was an interesting statement. What did you make of that?
Well, I think that maybe what he was, it's very hard to gauge military opinion, mostly because, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. It's interesting because the polling they do can only contact the people who are contactable, meaning people who live in one place and have an address and phone number. And as you know, so many military personnel are constantly on the move. They move a lot. It's hard. The other thing is that as a professional code, military professionals tend to be averse to politics. In some ways, that's good, and in some ways, actually, I think it's negative for policymaking, because right when we need these people to come back and tell stories of how we need to change our foreign policy, how we need to look at national security in a much broader way than we did during the Cold War, they're not naturally engaged in the political process. So
when he says the majority of the military are not in support of this war, where would he get that from?
I think he's probably referring to the people who are retired, who've been making statements. And he's also referring to a poll that was taken about 2.5 weeks ago by a newspaper called, I think it's Army Times. It's at military.com if you want to see it. And it was published in USA Today. And what it did, it was kind of a mixed bag for people who were against the war. I mean, what it did was show that the optimism and the agreement with going to war has declined significantly. And if I can pull it up right here, I can get you the statistics. But it's on the USA Today website and at military.com.
And I think that you're probably right in terms of where he's pulling this from, because it is difficult to assess in the military, because then also that they're not supposed to criticize or be perceived as criticizing the commander in chief.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, although if you look back again at the way this was worded, it's not all coming up roses. I mean, Jim Webb in one sense took what was most useful for his speech last night. I remember reading through the poll and questions, and one of them was about the importance of making sure that everybody considers Iraq and Afghanistan together in the global war on terror. And I think that's a huge mistake. I mean, if we start to confuse these two wars and start to rationalize them all as part of some big never-ending global war on terror, then we're really in trouble because they're not the same thing. They were brought on by very different motivations and reasons, and I think a lot of people who feel that it was justified to go into Afghanistan, where actually Al-Qaeda operated and where Osama bin Laden was living and planning the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
So to get to the Iraq question and the Iraq issue within the State of the Union address given by George Bush last night, George Bush says that this is a fight that we can win. And my question to you is that does anybody know what the definition of win is? What does win look like?
I don't think that he actually believes that. I did read some leaks from the administration that was saying what they're doing this is for cosmetic political reasons so they can not be the people in office when we finally do have to withdraw our troops.
But again, what does a win look like? What would it look like?
Well, I think for them a win would look like all of a sudden the insurgents and the, you know, factional fighting, people, you know, doing that would lay down their arms and all come to the negotiating table and create a prosperous and stable and democratic Iraq.
But we're not even in the position of leaving Iraq as we found it.
I agree with you. This is just a dreadful debacle. It's been a terrible mistake. It's, you know, if we can even get any lessons or if there's any silver lining from this experience, I'm hopeful that we'll learn some lessons, but I think it's going to take us years to rebuild. I'm somebody who's, you know, started in the foreign policy, national security arena in my 20s, and I think that it's going to be the rest of my life in my career is going to be doing damage control for this administration.
Mm. And I want to share some of the words from this speech last night. Every one of us wishes that this war were over and won. Yet it would not be like us to leave our promises unkept, our friends abandoned, and our own security at risk. Ladies and gentlemen, on this day, at this hour, it is still within our power to shape the outcome of this battle. So let us find our resolve and turn events toward victory. So it's a matter of our resolve? Is that what
it's
that is?
It's very manipulative political language because he's, you know, calling up the last remaining hopes of the American public who really want to see their troops succeed. And he knows that anybody who criticizes it, that when he frames it that way, he can accuse them of not supporting the military or being soft on defense. And this whole idea that, you know, you're not supporting the nation's security if you don't support this, you know, war of choice in Iraq is just ludicrous, and it's wrong, and it's possibly the most cynical thing any of us are going to hear in our lifetime coming from our elected leaders.
And then he spoke in his speech that Iraq is not ready to stop this violence on their own, so we are deploying reinforcements of more than 20,000 additional soldiers and Marines to Iraq. The vast majority will go to Baghdad, where they will help Iraqi forces to clear and secure neighborhoods and serve as advisors embedded in the Iraqi army units. With Iraq in the lead, our forces will help secure the city. Now, what is it that we're going to be giving these Iraqi forces? Are we going to be giving them the best things that we have available? Are we going to be giving them what kind of weapons are we going to be giving them? And is it reasonable to expect that those weapons that we give them will be used in a way that George Bush says that they should be used?
Well, I mean, you hit everything right on the head. There's the reports that I've read is that the Iraqi police forces and troops that we're training are getting inadequate equipment. On the one hand, that we don't know if the equipment isn't being taken and sold to these insurgents who are engaged in their own vendettas. And three, the thing that never comes up that is impossible to measure and that's hard to talk about is just the political will. If the Iraqi people and their leaders, and I would even leave the people out of it, but if their leaders aren't interested in negotiating a nonviolent solution, and it's not going to happen.
Well, how can the leaders
say that it should happen? It's not unless there's some political will over there, and that's the great unknown in this equation.
But I would ask, is it unknown? Who put the leader of Iraq in office? We did that. So who does he have support from? He wants to live, too. So what can he advocate for makes any sense?
It's not an accident. This is an outcome. And I think people need to keep that in mind. Even though it's not the outcome even that the Bush administration wanted, they didn't want this guy Maliki necessarily in there. But we could go on chasing our tails in terms of the disastrous proportions of what's going on in Iraq. But I think the important thing for Americans to realize is that decisions, these kinds of decisions of war and peace are the most vital, important items to consider when you're voting for someone. And frankly, I think those of us who were paying attention and were worried about this in 2000, we're right to be worried about it.
Well, it began with a theft in 2000, and it's about a theft of oil in Iraq in 2007.
Well, let's see. I mean, what's going to be interesting is there's some legislation out right now. I think Barbara Lee from California and a number of other members have signed on to. And, in fact, it's shown up as an item in other pieces of legislation that are much more center or even on the right, is that there will be no military bases long-term left in Iraq.
So, okay, military bases. What about embassies?
Embassy, that's another question. Somebody asked me about that yesterday. I actually don't know, but it's a good question for citizens to write to their members of Congress.
Because the embassy is built.
It's the largest embassy in the world.
In the world, that the world has ever seen. So, okay, no military bases, but maybe that's not what they wanted when you have an embassy that houses thousands of people.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that, but I don't put anything beyond these guys at this point. I thought that, 1.3 years ago, I'd be able to stop picking my jaw up off the kitchen floor every morning when I saw the news. And I still am.
Lorelei Kelly, stay with us for a few more minutes. Policy Director, Real Security Initiative, the White House Project, joining us from Washington, D.C. We are deconstructing the State of the Union address, George W. Bush, from last night. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. How about some tools? How about some tractors? Spring is coming. Spring is coming. I promise you, spring is coming. And you need to be ready for it. Get on down to Sears. Get what you need. Lawnmowers, tractors, tools. They have it all. Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
You see, man, I got your nitty. See, I'm about to run it, boy. making the money. Thanks for telling me, but I know you go.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I am having a conversation with Lorelei Kelly. She is the policy director of the Real Security Initiative, the White House Project, joining us from Washington, D.C., deconstructing the State of the Union address from last night. And Lorelei, I guess as a parting overview of what was said by George W. Bush last night, what difference will it make?
Well, the only difference it will make is if some of these priorities that he put forward are actually going to be implemented, that he'll put some elbow grease behind it and actually do something about American dependence on foreign oil. Maybe that's not just drilling up, you know, the last of the domestic sources. If he actually goes to Congress and pushes through some of these items that he claims to value, and if we base this hope on his track record, there's a reason to be pretty skeptical about it, because you know, there's a difference between values and priorities. Everybody can give lip service to values, but something's only a priority when it gets written into legislation, when there's money behind it, and when there's manpower dedicated to it. That's how the gears of government work, and we've just not seen that happen with all the rhetoric of the past years. At the end of the day, there's usually not a lot to show for it.
And I guess a good example of that in the speech that he gave last night was talking about reinstating and the No Child Left Behind Act. When you talk to legislators all across, I mean educators all across this country, they hate it.
I know, and it's what the biggest irony to me is the state of Utah, which is the most, you know, cozy habitat for conservative Republicans.
It's red on red, in red, in red.
Exactly. They've rejected it.
Yes, they have.
So, no, my family is full of public school teachers, and boy, do they give me an earful of this every time I go there.
It's
even
horrible.
Though I don't work on education policy, and I didn't vote for it. But this whole idea that you are just teaching kids to take tests, I mean, is that really what we want
with
our population? It is, and
horrible.
It needs to be reversed.
And I want to thank you very much, Lorelei Kelly, Policy Director of the Real Initiative, Real Security Initiative, the White House Project. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, on January 30th, that is January 30th. January 30th, we have a meeting at 6 o'clock, and it's from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe University on Laclede. And it is Desi is coming into town to talk to you, to listen to you about how you feel about the state takeover, the idea of the state takeover, the idea of the nullification of your vote with a 3-person appointed board. All of that, and they want to hear from you. I encourage everybody, I insist upon everybody going to that meeting. You need to be at that meeting. If you don't want to talk or if you can't talk, please bring a written statement to state your position on this issue. Be there on the 30th at 6 o'clock at Harris Stowe University in the main auditorium right there on Laclede. 1-877-920-WGNU. Carl.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I would just like to compliment you. You are indeed a master communicator. I've been listening to you for a while, and I must say, you're one of the best.
Well, thank you. What a kind thing to say.
Well, I'm sorry.
I said, what a kind thing to say.
Oh, yes. Well, it's true. Okay, I drive a truck, and that's all I listen to. I listen to a lot of radio. And I must say that you are at the top of my list. I just want to just pass that along. And thank you for all these wonderful conversations.
Well, bless your heart, and thank you for that.
Okay, thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. We have much business to tend to. And at the top of my list, I have a caller called this morning and wanted to know,
Can't we just talk about the school issue? We can put aside the State of the Union address because the school issue is so important. This meeting is so important. It's so important. It's so important. I agree. But and I would also add that everything is tied together in a George Bush's State of the Union address. He talked about education as well. He wants the No Child Left Behind Act renewed. He wants that act back on the books again. And this is why we fight for education, because of what's being brought to us. The No Child Left Behind Act has been a dismal failure. And after saying that, George Bush's solution is we need to find ways to get kids into private schools. Here's the thing. I would stand on the top of the arch, hold up a sign, and say, private schools rock. I would do that. I would absolutely do that. If you bring to me the evidence that private schools are better. You know why? Because private schools don't have to take the tests that our babies have to take. Private schools don't have to do the things that our public schools do. Let's compare apples to apples. Do children do better in private schools? If you're going to measure a graduation rate, and we don't know how many kids were taken out of your school. We don't know how many kids you screened out of your school. And we don't know how your kids would do taking the MAP test either. Let's do that first before we automatically say, well, if they're paying for it, it must be good. No. Every single one of you out there has paid for something that sucked. So don't assume because you're paying for it, it's good or it's better. Let's use our heads in assessing what our opinions are and what our positions are and what our beliefs are. Show me the record. Show me the evidence. I want to see it. 1-877-920-WGNU, Jackson.
Good morning, Miss Lee. How are you?
I am outstanding.
I'd just like to ask a question. Maybe I might understand this right. What does he mean when he says...
Okay, will you back off your phone a little bit, because we're getting a lot of back on that? Okay.
It's like, what does he mean when he says no kids left behind?
I can't answer that.
Because whether you know it or not, send him on through?
I don't know what he means in that he will leave no child behind, because there are too many children that are not getting what they need. And
yeah,
subsequently,
the kids don't know anything, but send them on to the second grade, send them to the fifth grade, send them on out of school.
I don't know what George W. Bush means by leaving no, or having the plan, or having the... I understand a concept of, because Marion Wright Edelman created the concept of no child left behind. I understand the concept of it. That means that we're going to do everything within our power to make certain that no child is ever left behind in what is supposed to be the richest and the best nation in the world. That's what many Americans would say, right? So how do we have a public education system that is so poorly funded, so attacked, so maligned, And we place more emphasis on making certain that a CEO gets $1 billion a year, but a teacher doesn't. I mean, there are a lot of reasons that it's happened, but I can't speak to why Boy George, or what Boy George means about anything.
Thank you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget about that meeting. January 30th. At 6 o'clock at Harrisdale University, Desi is coming to town. They want to hear from you about your opposition to a state takeover and your opposition to the nullification of your vote with this three-person board. Be there. It is critical. If you only go to one meeting, one public meeting this year, please go to this one. And that is on a Tuesday, January 30th. I'll see you there. And until then, I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. We have... Eye on the Loo, and we have Justice for Reggie Thursday, and we have another special guest that's going to be joining us. You don't want to miss it. My name is Liz Brown. Until tomorrow morning, thanks for listening, and stay strong.
kill tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.